Hello and welcome to episode 191 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
This is John and I play Protector Domenoth.
This is Josh and I play Pirates. Yarr!
Nigel and I play Cotter.
This is Chad and I play Trolls.
This is Sword and I play Convergence of Cirrus.
That's his porn star name.
It's also it's Keith Christensen's porn star name. It's totally Keith.
It's totally not Keith. Remember
it's that totally, porn? Totally not Keith.
This is Keith and I have a cold, so I sound different.
Yeah. Perfect.
Actually, perfect. Sword is nice enough. He's sitting in for Keith. He is from New Hampshire. Is that right?
Yes.
And you drove to Iowa?
Drove all the way here. So with it's my wife. Yeah.
Yep. Just like us driving to TempleCon. It's a nice scenic drive. Easy, right?
Yeah. It was easy. I just overnighted it. It was great.
Fantastic.
Actually,
never
no.
Again, Josh says.
Never again. This is driving to TempleCon is my Alamo, my 9/11, my Holocaust. It is.
You'll never forget.
I'll never forget.
There's so much good stuff that came out of that drive.
Yeah, you have to come back. It's great.
Oh, I'm going to fly. I'm going to give John my stuff. He'll drive it out there.
Yeah, that makes more sense. That's more logical.
No, you can lick my nuts. I'm not going
to
carry
you. And then when I land, I'm just going to be like, John, I thought of like all these great like zings to say to you, and I'm just going to save them up for the next podcast. So,
all those pirate jokes.
All these pirate jokes.
Think about all the inside jokes that we're going to have that you're going to miss out on, though.
That's true.
There's a lot of bonding that happens.
Can we get like a larger vehicle then, maybe? Like one in which I can recline, fully recumbent.
Maybe, I guess. I don't know. Actually, we need to get a trailer. Actually, we need to get a mom.
We absolutely need. I saw, when I was tailgating this last weekend, I saw what, it was probably a $300,000 RV. That's what we need.
All right, focus. Focus. We're a war machine.
All right.
a war machine talk.
We're talking about traveling to TempleCon, which is a war machine related adventure.
Yeah. I mean, I think we should get a MOMV and we should kickstart it.
That'd be amazing.
That would be sweet.
Yeah.
And then use it to buy lasers. Also, but also.
I just want a vehicle I can get skunk drunk in on the way to TempleCon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What on earth would be people's incentive to help us kickstart a MOMV?
They could get the number one level would be they could ride in the MOMV with us to a tournament.
Yeah,
and then
we would
hate life.
The
they would hate life. They'd be like, why did I probably rude.
And when you say they can drive, they can basically drive while you guys drink. Yeah. Is that the idea?
Yeah. That's totally,
know exactly where you're
going.
Our fans get us. All I want is things without having to do anything or pay for them or anything like that.
Yeah, that's definitely you.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of paying for things, John, how did the pirate afford, or how much did he pay for his brand new hook and peg leg?
An arm and a leg.
It's terrible when he spoils the joke.
That one was too. Yeah, that's too easy.
All right, I might have another one for later.
Did you make one up on your own?
I might have two more.
I feel like we're at the bottom of the barrel, and this segment is almost dead.
No, it's
it is almost.
It's not
dead.
Almost dead.
Do you remember the last time that you got to the end zone and started doing the dance, and then like everyone came to his rescue and sent him like 20 new pirate jokes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I guess gotta pretend like it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Need to start recycling. You need to recycle the old ones.
He did that once already. He got blown up for it.
Alan doesn't like it when I recycle.
Yeah. He somehow remembers them all.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know if he just
We can start the pirate comedy tour again. You know you're a pirate when you dress up as Prince and nobody notices. See? We could start that.
That's good. I like that.
See?
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, guys, War Machine. Pirates are mercenaries.
Pirates are very clearly related to War
Machine.
Very topical. Yeah.
All right, so we don't have our normal MC here, so I'll try. How about we start with some dojo, and then we'll work into some WTC talk. Does that sound good?
Does anybody have any dojo?
You said you did. Sword said he did.
Oh, right.
He was trying to be.
I was totally bait. I was trying to bait you. I was trying to bait you.
It's masterfully done, Josh.
Thank you. Mm. Count it.
All right. Well, okay. Who wants to start?
Why don't we let Sword start because I need to go get my phone with the list on it.
All right. Sword.
Should I do that Menoth list or should I go with my Cintherion Lightning list?
Let's talk about your Cintherion list because I think it's interesting. I've seen another version of it. So.
Yeah. So I'll go with the base version first and we can talk about how we want to modify this. But so Forge Master Cintherion. modulator, 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 and modulator. That's eight modulators. The corollary, free galvanizer, because this will be tier four. Attunement servitors, algorithmic dispersion OptiFX, that's the ArcNode guy, and then the OptiFX directive, which are the mechanics.
The mechanics, Grant Magic Weapon and Grant Pathfinder.
Yep.
Are the modulators the guys who put down those, like, the stripe? So they shoot and then they arc across?
So the guys with the big laser arms.
They're, six-point jack that have the two POW-14 melee attacks and have the range 11 POW-10 electrical attack that has a direct current, shoots on the line, and then if you hit them, you take a POW-10. So it's...
Yeah, that's the Plasma Nimbus rule. Somebody hits them, and then it's still there at the end of the attack. It's pretty good against infantry. And then what's interesting is with modulators, with Syntherian's feet, they gain weapon platform. So they get to charge in.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they charge, they get to make both of their range attacks. So they've charged forward. What are they? Are they speed 5?
Speed 5.
So they charge forward 8.5 inches. So they charge forward 8, and then they shoot another 10. Mm-hmm. And you're digging pretty deep.
And then they start out at POW 14 melee attacks, but there's like 11 or something models that he can trigger synergy with, so it doesn't take too long before they start to hit pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's good against infantry, and then you can build up a few synergy chain levels and then hit and take down a heavy.
And you can have your focus sort of snaking your way through your army and ending up on whatever jack you think is going to be the one that's going to be doing the big synergy punching.
Yeah, you only really need to allocate one focus, if anything, and then the corollary covers everything else. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's kind of a skew buster, because I imagine most infantry lists melt pretty fast.
Yeah, you just can't make attacks. You can't make melee attacks against it. It's really essentially just a denial list in that nobody can attack them.
Or you have to do kind of a risk calculation.
Yeah, because you have to like finish them off.
Yeah, and then, that's the other thing. Yeah, is they're all auto repair.
Yeah, they are.
His field marshal.
His field marshal is auto repair D3. I forgot about that. The other thing I'm kind of curious about is what's the interaction with respawn and plasma nimbus.
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure that because of the way respawn is worded.
You mean reconstruct?
Yeah, reconstruct. Sorry, respawn is Vale's version of the spell.
It's Saren's version of the spell.
Fair. All right. You know what I meant.
Sick burns. Sick burns.
I'm just helping.
Anyway, because plasma nimbus is triggered, I think, as long as you're not destroyed, and I think that reconstruct happens before destroy.
It's on disabled. Reconstruct is on disabled, and then plasma nimbus is on destroyed.
Yeah.
Oh, so it still triggers plasma nimbus.
Yes. So it still triggers plasma nimbus. So reconstruct actually even becomes better.
Because I had the same. I actually played against Sword just before this podcast. That list, and that was one of the questions I had was, if I knock down his jack and then it gets reconstructed, does it stay knocked down? And the answer that we came to was yes, because the jack actually never leaves the table. It's sort of like making a tough check.
Yeah.
The jack goes to the disabled stage and then it gets sort of placed in a different spot, but it never actually leaves the table.
Just like it would still be on fire if it was reconstructed.
Right.
But it's an interesting list, and something that we talked about a little bit was I felt like it needed a beater. So synergy is great, and you can build up some really impressive synergy chains. But if you had like something that was POW 17 base, mm-hmm. like the inverter, and then also one thing that's really interesting about the inverter is it's got reach all the time, and reach is a really important ability for a melee jack. So you can send the inverter on the most important pieces, and you can get there because of the reach. Sometimes it's really hard.
Something that I was wondering about just on the way on the car ride over here was like in the game we played. Basically, what allowed me to kind of get back into the game was I had a turn of crazy dice, and then after that, I was able to sort of leverage my lead that I had suddenly gained like into a snowball victory because he could never get Syntherian out to reapply magnetic hold. So it's like the unit that he kind of sends his one arc node out and magnetic holds my guys in front and they don't really do anything then. But eventually they all die and then, but I got his arc node for him I got his arc node for the trade.
Yeah.
And then he was never really able to get in a spot where he could reapply it again and still feel safe.
Having a second arc node would have been great.
Yeah.
Especially getting them on the Tuffalos, because those Tuffalos were really what brought about my end, basically.
Yeah. I just think in general, like I think that would probably make you stronger against a lot of matchups if you could figure some way of getting another arc node out in there just so you could have the So you can have the one sent out in front. You can have the one sent out early to sort of stunt their approach. And then late game, you can have another one in case you need to go and reapply it on something more.
So I played against a version of this list at Lock and Load. it was played by, I think it's Captain Congo Boy on our forums. Mm-hmm. And I played it with Vindictus and a whole bunch of dudes, and I was like, oh my god, this is such a bad matchup. But what I did find out was multi-wound solos and troops aren't as bothered by the Pow-10s. Mm-hmm. You take some of them, but it didn't remove my guys. So they got to make attacks and then take some damage. And then the Power 10 weapons platform shots didn't kill as much as he thought it was going to. So it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Also, modulators die way quicker than you think they will.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of armor, and they don't have a lot of boxes for heavies.
Yeah, they have one of the worst stat lines in the game. It's 11-18, right?
I mean, they are a 6-point jack with 2 guns, so, like, that's...
And yeah. An induction node.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. It's insanely powerful.
Yeah.
but what the other thing that I noticed in playing against it was... now I had a brain fart. Oh, also...
Sorry.
Knights Exemplar were amazing because they would come in and take the Pow 10. And then I'd be like, okay, well, this guy dies. These guys all get +1 strength.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was pretty nice, actually. Yeah. So.
That's awful.
But, I mean, yeah. I think I would like to see that list played in the Crix matchup. I'm curious to see how it would do. I feel like it would be pretty good.
Yeah, it's... I just find it supremely interesting because we initially like looked at Centurion and we're just like, oh, Prime Axiom. This is the Prime Axiom guy. Like, you always take a Prime Axiom. You're going to take him into tier and you're going to take Prime Axiom with him. So it's kind of nice to see something different than that. And this, like, we've talked before about the potential problems that Crix can give Convergence. It definitely seems... I really like that this... Because that the modulator was, like, the jack that I looked at, I was like, oh, it's probably not good enough, but it's cool. It's, like, different than all the others.
Yeah.
So I like that it's...
It's fun when you're spamming it, because you put, you know, what it offers is denial for a single wound infantry, and then you just magnify that. You multiply
yeah.
that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I wonder, and I mean, I like this list, so don't take this the wrong way, but I wonder if there's room for a list that has, like, 4 modulators and then a little bit more diverse group of jacks. Potentially, like...
There's something to be said for the fact that, like, literally every single jack and his... Like, you can't... You literally, like... It takes all of your single wound infantry off the table, basically, because you... Literally, like, there's no target for...
Yeah, I'm just saying you could screen... You could screen, like, a cipher and a monitor behind...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How much flare is in the list?
2. Only 2.
2?
Which is 3. 3 models.
3 attunement servitors, yeah.
3 attunement.
Yeah.
So I changed it a little bit, so I... With those suggestions. So I have 6 modulators now, an inverter, a diffuser, and an extra ADO. And otherwise, the list is the same. But
what is which one's the diffuser?
He's awesome. He's the beacon jack, the Hunter's Mark jack. It's got
heavy.
It's a light. It's a range 11 lucky gun. And then.
Oh, okay, that one.
And Hunter's Marks.
And in Hunter's Mark.
I would like to see
us. Is that also true sight?
No.
I'm thinking of the chain. Of the. Chainsaw jack.
Yeah, that's the monitor.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'd like to see a cipher in the list, just thinking about it, because I like access to additional flare. And I also, when like for synergy lists, I really like to see like a heavy that will max out at like a really high POW at the end of the chain that can just get into something like a Colossal or whatnot and just trash it.
He did put the inverter in the list.
Oh, I didn't hear you say inverter. I'm sorry.
Yeah, inverter's in there now. Yeah.
God, how bad could it get?
So the POW... You know, 20, and then the POW 17 reach weapon.
So the POW 17 reach with his 6 chain synergy comes POW 23.
It's pretty good.
I can take out flosses with that pretty easy.
6 monitors, an inverter. Or you've got 6 monitors, a diffuser.
The inverter.
And a galvanizer and Centurion.
Two arc nodes now. Is that correct?
So you get up to it. Yes. Like the dream is like getting a 9 stack and then like magnetic holding their jack.
Yeah.
Or their colossal. And having the inverter charge in at POW plus strength. 28 or 26.
Yeah, pretty
That's
good.
The dream, I guess.
And then also, I think with Beacon, you get a free charge, right?
Yes.
So that's actually really, really powerful.
And on the feature as well, it's free charge.
So. Yeah. But I mean, just free charges with synergy really add up.
Free charge in general is just one of the best, like most efficient uses of.
Yeah.
In an already efficient, focus efficient faction, it's great extra attack. And
yep.
Sweet.
Anyway, I think it's an interesting list. I think it'd be fun to kind of play. I think it's you play with the battle group and trying to find your
your optimal battle group for whatever matchups you think you're going to end up facing. Like, sort of will depend on a little bit on what your other list is, probably. But.
Right. And I'm basically my other list is Lucant. He's amazing.
Amazing
cast. Yeah, he's all right.
What Lucant? What do people play that guy?
I mean, the more appropriate question is:
be special snowflakes play that guy.
Is there a two list out there in Convergence that doesn't have Lucant in it? I've not seen one at a tournament yet.
Maybe if they fix quotation marks Watcher, maybe. Even then, I'm not sure.
No, don't do that. It's perfect the way it is. There's nothing
nothing to see here. Perfect. Move along. Yeah. These are not the droids you're looking for.
The developers of the game might disagree with that.
Yeah.
No, it's like when they were designing Lucant, they were like, how can we fit more of the best spells in the game onto one card?
Yeah, he's got like all of them pretty much, right?
It's got some good ones. I mean, Dissolution Bolt is not that exciting.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really have what I would consider to be the best spells in the game. He just has a very solid spell list. I mean, Purification is one of the best spells in the game. Deceleration is also very good.
Yeah, it's one of them.
Positive Charge.
Yeah, that's also pretty good.
I mean, his spell list is very good. It's just, it's not like he has Crippling Grasp and Breath Stealer and, like...
Yeah, he also doesn't have Eye of Menoth.
Right.
Purification and Decel is pretty...
They're pretty ball-busting.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, those are... they're in the discussion, but yeah. I think there's some better spells.
I mean, I think Purification and Decel are some of the... Probably in, like, the top tier of spells. I do agree with that.
Eye of Cirrus, that would be a good spell.
Eye of Cirrus would be pretty good. Be pretty good.
I agree,
although,
though.
Why would you give him that spell? Why wouldn't you just make him, like... And what is Lucant? 7-3? He could be he's 6-3. He could be a 7-4.
I do hope someday that they reprint Eye of Menoth on another caster and it's not a Protectorate caster.
Yeah.
That would be.
But it's still Eye of Menoth.
Yeah. Because they have to keep the same name. Like, yeah. This isn't Mark 1.
Yeah.
You can't have the same spell with two different names.
That's true.
I mean, we could. I mean, you could have, like, Eye of Turok. All of your troops get -1/-1.
All of the enemy models get -1/-1, you mean?
I was saying their troops, but it's probably more appropriate to...
Yeah, that's stupid. Why would you ever cast that? That'd be dumb.
That's the point.
Your joke was bad, and you should feel bad.
Eh, whatever. All right, Josh, you said you had some dojo?
I do. I've been teching against Chad and those awful
Disney
troll peoples.
You love it.
So
I really don't like it when someone's specifically teching against me.
It's actually not. I mean, it's against a list that you created. You gave birth to a monstrosity, and the monstrosity needs to be put down.
It probably catches. It probably catches Runes of War and Fists of Halak and the splash damage. So it's not all about you.
I am on a mission to.
I wanted to feel special, Nigel.
I'm on a mission to like post-term abort your horrific monstrous fetus.
Yeah.
So. At any rate,
soundboard that.
So at any rate, yeah, like when I've been playing, like I'm looking for a secondary list opposite Ostrom and the Earthbreaker, and I think Thexus is probably going to be it, but I would have gotten a lot more games with Thexus in if it didn't take so long to put together all these drudges. It is a lot of drudges. It's a lot of drudges. I'm really tired of putting together drudges at this point. And they actually go together nicely. Anyway, that's not what this segment's about. This segment's about Fiona the Black. That's right. The worst warcaster in all of Mercs.
Isn't that what you said that, right?
I said it, and up till now I stand by it, but...
But Josh, she's the natural predator of Stormblades.
She is the natural predator of Stormblades, but not... of Creel Warriors, despite their identical stat line.
Creel Warriors have two less armor.
Yeah, yeah. Keep like you said, maybe they won't be in the Creel. So, anyway, like I was going to go play Eric today. He wanted to play a game, and I've been thinking about dealing with Miserable Meat Mountain specifically, but also just the sort of move towards these medium base, like armor spam sort of list. So like Fist of Halak, Lucant with Reciprocators.
Yeah.
I think Reciprocators, is that the name of that unit?
Yes. Yeah, the Shield Log. Yeah.
So those sorts of things you're seeing pop up, and Mercs has to like... Ostrom can kind of like push it around. The Earthbreaker is not awful against it, but it's not great, and I will frequently end up getting behind on scenario in those games while I'm waiting for the Earthbreaker to chew through that much ridiculous beef. And the rest of the list is really just all the gun mages are doing are, like, pushing stuff around out of scenario zones, and the boom howlers are just dying.
Like, do you like how Chad left for this segment?
I do. Like, you know,
he's just like, I don't want to hear
he's
this.
He's just like, I can't take it. So, anyway, this whole, like, armor spam, medium base nonsense is something that, like, I've been thinking about a lot because I obviously have it shoved down my throat on a weekly basis. But and I was going to play Eric, who also plays Trolls, today, and I was looking through. I didn't want to play some of the casters that I've been playing lately. I just wanted to play something that I hadn't played in a while. And I just happened to pull up Fiona's card, and as I was looking through it, I was just like, this is a lot of stuff to sort of deal with, like, at least in theory, to deal with the sort of questions that are being presented by the Meat Mountain type skew. So, the main idea here is, and Chad and I have talked before about how, like, you kill three warders on a turn. Like, that's a big turn. That's a good turn.
Usually makes me pretty unhappy.
Yeah. And, like, usually you're going to have to do it by getting, you're going to need, like, weapon master charges or whatnot. If you can do it at range, that's a huge deal. Like, a huge deal.
My favorite thing about that is, like, usually the other players usually they're unhappy about. Yeah. I love the interaction that happens. Yeah. Where they're like, God, I only killed three guys. And I'm like, God damn it, they killed three guys.
So the star of the show here is not like it's not new tech, but it's not something that's been talked about recently or played a lot. And that's Fiona's affliction spell combined with long gunners and the ability to put 20 damage onto a unit of warders fairly... Warders or whatever, the Citrati or whatever the case may be, fairly with a fairly insignificant amount of effort. One of the old strategies was like, oh, Fiona, how does she crack armor? Oh, she uses affliction and long gunners. And you're like, great, I put 20 damage on that beast. It's still alive. Its combat efficacy has not been reduced in the slightest. Like, and I used my whole, like, I used both Fiona's activation and I used my whole long gunner unit activation, and I didn't actually get ahead because he's going to be able to put out as much damage this turn as last turn. Yes, he's hurt, but it's a different story when you do it to a unit like warders and you're actually killing several models because you are reducing combat efficacy and footprint when you do it. So the combination of affliction and long gunners is where the main show is at. She actually has a couple things that are kind of interesting. Like, as I was looking through, like, influence, not bad against several of these weapon master models. It's not great, but it's not awful. Like, against Citrati, I think it's pretty good. They are weapon masters, right, Pao?
No. Most of them aren't.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought they were.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not an awful, awful spell to have. She also has access to Soulfire, which is pretty good for getting into support pieces that will frequently be buffing up the armor or whatever the case may be. Example against Meat Mountain is the Creelstone. At 12, 15, she's looking to roll fives and fives again to kill grill units and, like, replenish her soul. Like, she can actually just machine gun down the unit if you spend enough focus. The list that I built here is Fiona with Wishnailer and Ruffinante, Epic Alexia, First Mate Hawk, Gastone with a Vanguard, Reinholdt, full unit of long gunners, two full units of press gangers, the Sea Dog deck gun to follow her around and give her an extra focus, and then a min unit of Nis Hunters. The very first thing I need to do is increase it to a max unit of Nis Hunters, but I just kind of, when I was building this list today, I just kind of wanted to get all the things that I was thinking about into the list and play around with it. But I definitely want the capability of between long gunners and Nis being able to put 30 damage into something. So that's the list. She may not need the Sea Dog deck gun, and Reinholdt could potentially be dropped, but it is nice to have Lucky Charm and Signs Importance from Arcane Secrets when she's throwing out Soulfires or whatever the case may be. At any rate, the game I played today against Eric, he was playing Borka because I assumed that I would have some trouble and it would be like a closer game dealing with like Iron Flesh, and that was problematic. But I was effectively able to crush one unit of warders very quickly that was on the flank where I could start scoring with Fiona in her own zone by dominating it.
She has a spell that gives magic weapons, right?
She does, the Nocrian brand. So Windwall wasn't. It's model unit, yep. Yeah, and it also allows them to ignore line of sight, which is also a fantastic spell for long gunners. Yep. Yep.
It's also great because it gets around all those medium-based infantry and...
Yeah, yeah. Like if I wanted to scalpel like a piece out of the back, the Nocrian brand can help do that.
You're so mean to Eric.
I know. But yeah, I was able to basically crush the unit of warders that he was going to use to contest my zone, jam out with the Pressganger block, and just sit back and score over the course of several turns while he tried to fight through, and I continued to whittle things down. Iron Flesh plus Tale of Mists did a pretty good job of keeping my long gunners not super relevant past the first turn or two, but that's kind of what I wanted to see, was whether or not the list would have some legs if the long gunners kind of failed me, and it did. So I'm at least excited enough about the outcome of the game that I want to get it a few more games in with the list.
All right. I got a few questions.
Yeah. Shoot.
What is the purpose of Gaston and a Vanguard?
I wanted the Vanguard in the list just to protect Fiona, because I obviously want her front and center for purposes of her feet. So I knew I wanted a Vanguard, and Gaston is 2 points if I'm already taking a Vanguard. So 2 point, like, double boostable hand cannon, like,
no,
is
really
not
good.
Yeah. It was not. The point is the Vanguard, and then I was like, well, it, like I've said before, I feel like if you're taking a Vanguard in your list, it's really hard to justify not taking Gaston.
I mean, would you consider dropping Rossante? And putting,
I would. I like
putting the Vanguard on Fiona, and then adding those points into some more stuff that cracks armor.
Yes, I would absolutely consider that.
Because I feel like you're a little light in the pants.
I don't disagree with that statement.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's like Rothenante and the Gaston and Vanguard group, and then also some of like the random like support on her. Those are all potential cuts that need to go towards. I definitely, like I said, I want to max the Nis, and then yeah.
I also think Ion and Holt might be a really good inclusion.
They would be, except that they're locked to Osram and the Earthbreaker.
I'm just trying to get that out of that Osram list. But
I mean, at the end of the day, Ion and Holt are a good inclusion in every list, right?
I'm just saying, like, Pressgangers plus Hawk plus Ion and Holt.
I liked Nigel's idea. No. Thor with gun bunnies.
Yeah, Thor with gun bunnies. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You should probably take Gorman out of that list, though, and move it over to this one, right?
Gorman could move, yeah. Mm-hmm. He absolutely could move.
He'd be a good addition, especially if you're teching against Meat Mountain.
Yeah, I mean, you can't miss with Gorman. You're going to get good value out of every Black Oil. My concern is you're going to be chewing through warders and champions. I don't think you get through all of that and Mulg before he gets to you.
Potentially not. I mean, it's definitely something that if I could put Boomhowlers in this list, I would, because that's, I mean, number one, the Boomhowlers is obviously the best Ross Mercy target in the game, and also it prevents trampling. I just don't have another option. So
you just have to be careful, though, because I feel like Affliction plus Long Gunners plus Nis Hunters, good start.
Yeah.
But you're going to need more than that to get through.
That's what I kept thinking about when you were talking about it on the way over.
Yeah.
20 press gangers who are weapon masters as against the medium based models, as well as being just
what
Ross Mercy jam. Power 11.
Until I kill Hawk.
Yeah. I mean, Hawk is a central, like, she's a central figure in this list. She's important.
Against
as
almost every troll list.
As a Telgash mark.
Yeah. Against almost every troll list, like, Hawk is target, like, she's like target number one.
She absolutely is. The thing that I was thinking about when I was thinking about this list and Hawk, like, she's important, but she's not, like, insanely important.
Yeah.
It's nice to have the acrobatic arc node, obviously, but I can throw it out on, like, Epic Elixir or whatever the case may be. It's nice.
It's insanely important.
It's nice to turn the acrobatic arc node function is insanely important. It's nice to turn the Pressgangers into weapon masters.
I think you need that to get through the list.
It's possible.
I don't know if I totally agree if you Epic Lexi can bail you out a bit, too. Because if you can take down three dudes, create three weapon masters, and those guys go in there.
Yeah, but those Powtan weapon masters only do like 3 points of damage to a warder.
It just gets things going. It, and then you,
yeah, it does.
Have a pretty good chance of killing Alexia if she's within close enough range to collect souls. Like, I'll just charge her.
I mean, I understand. Like, getting through 20 Ross Mercy tough models is not like, yeah. That doesn't happen like
my
that.
My guess was
like,
that the press gangers would hold up a lot. You know, yeah. That's the big flaw of Meat Mountain is there's just. The only thing that really comes out in scalpels is the caster.
Well, they Grisel can kill a lot of those guys.
Yeah,
or
force
lock.
So what you want to do is you want to
kill, like, especially champions with Grisel 1.
Yeah, so champions are the obvious, like, very first long gun target. Like, just harm or afflict them and kill as many champions as possible.
That's gonna be tough. That's a tall order.
Why is that tough?
I mean, how are you gonna see them?
No Korean brand.
Plus, I mean, if you're hiding behind warders, then their efficacy of their range is shortened. That's what I mean, like. The Troll doesn't have, like, a huge reach. You can kind of play with that a little bit, especially, like, with Gorman.
I agree with you. You can. I just think that I think he's going to run out of time before because there's a timer on the game.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, when he gets to you.
I mean, that's
you
the lose. Problem with playing. Oh. Like, what, with Mulg specifically?
No, I mean, as soon as he breaks through the press gangers and gets to
correct
the squishy center,
correct,
you lose. And it's just a matter of how long that is. And I don't think you're putting in enough damage. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I'd have to see it played. I just wish you had a little bit more armor cracking in the list. So.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it, but I think Rocinante and Gastone should be turned to more armor cracking business, and I'm not sure what that looks like.
Exists in mercs that is.
I mean, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
But
I mean, Forge Guard is an option, but not a great option. More guns is a possibility of some kind, but...
Oh, we see.
Wait, do you have Ragman available?
I do have Ragman available. I didn't put him in the list because I don't have, like, any reach, and usually reach is, like, the thing.
Why not just... Oh, this might be a stupid question. Why not Crow's Cutthroats?
Because I can't do that and long gunners.
Oh.
Crows are only 4-star long gunners or only highborn.
I do think Ragman would be a really good inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
especially with those little guys you make, the little Alexia dudes.
Yeah, thralls. Yeah, I mean, I sat and thought about Ragman for a while. But typically, without reach, his efficacy is significantly reduced without, like, a lot of reach models, yeah. And there's very few reach models.
That's true, but it does go out farther. Like, I've played it with the pirate boat with Iresk, and it gets out farther than you think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, Ragman is an obvious inclusion.
I mean, like, him with models without reach, the way warders tend to kind of clump up a bit, it'll get, like, the whole unit. Like, because it's 3 inches from him, and it's the back of some guy's base who's then touching, you know, the outside guy from each. It's a huge spread, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even if it only guts the unit, like, kills three middle guys, you know, that's still more than he's, like, done his weight and gold.
Right. Right. That's true.
It's an interesting theory, though. I like it. I want to record that game. You guys should play it.
Yeah. I almost think you should just go min unit of Forge Guard with Ragman, and then get rid of, like, the Nyss altogether. Like, if you've got those 7 points, you're goofing with.
It's actually also possible
to Ragman and Nyss are pretty good too because they become Power 11 weapon masters on the charge.
No, it's true.
I was gonna say it's actually also. Oh no, it's not. No, it's not. He's 4-star only. I was gonna say
Forge Guard can run up behind those little tough dudes, you know, and they just back. They're basically like your Great Bears, and then they come in at their Pal 13 with Ragman with reach.
Yeah,
so they actually give
Pal 13.
Forge Guard to Great Bears is so sad.
But it's six dudes. It's six weapon master attacks. They're one off Pal.
It's almost the exact same as Great Bears.
Yeah, just hold them back as a counterpunch.
In this list, you could get that same mileage, anyways. Is that my point?
Yeah, I mean that was and. My usual hatred of Forge Guard doesn't necessarily apply in the matchups that I'm thinking about here because for the same reason I think Hawk is a little difficult to scalpel out in regards to a lot of these lists run like one or two like decent shooting models and everything else is pretty melee oriented.
Well, Fistlehawk is a different animal altogether.
Yeah.
Hawk's probably going to get lit on fire.
That's fair. That's fair.
But it's also not as...
It's squishier.
It's not as relevant. It's not as armor spammy.
Well, it's like the list I've been playing lately is Grisel 1. It's got a Lightning Troll and a Storm Troll, and I also just think Hoof It is like tremendously problematic for this for your list. Between Hoof It and the Feet, like...
What, just in terms of getting up to get engaged?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be noted on Meat Mountain that,
between
like,
the Feet, like... Because I'd probably kill all the press gangers on the Feet. Like, almost easily. Like, just trivially, almost. and then I get to still reposition, like, for
it.
Like,
it depends on when you pop your feet. You have to remember I have a feet as well. That makes it very difficult to kill my models.
Mm. Yeah, one dice to hit, right?
Yep, and damage, but yeah.
The damage part
is irrelevant
matter.
Against yeah. those models, yeah.
Yeah, but the one dice to hit, they're def 13 plus gangers.
So you need sixes.
So I wait till the turn after you pop your feet.
I mean, that's fine. It's just the it number of turns it. Buys me turns to kill your models. Like, that's the, yeah. So, anyway, that's
it'll be hard finding things to shoot if everything's engaged, though.
Yeah.
That's true.
And cacophony after the first turn.
I kind of used it a little bit, this, which is kind of cute, is that I can back my pressgangers out of combat under the feet turn and then shoot because it's very hard to, even with a plus two, you still need to roll four ups.
Yeah. Do you have Doc on the list?
There is no Doc in the list. That's an option. Like, any of the pirate solos are option. Rock Bottom is an option for payday for boosted to hits, although that's not really usually, like, the part of the attraction here is that I'm trying to just break through high armor, and, like, the hit-to-hitting part is not a big deal. So
Pendrake is... I think Doc might be worthwhile.
Pendrake is... Doc might be worthwhile. He might be. Pendrake is another model that I think I probably do want to add because at least a couple of the lists that I'm talking about are horde space lists and giving is it what well, I don't remember what the beast lore
beast
is that
lore.
Yeah, beast lore to the long gunners, like, really will help to, for example, kill a Mulg with affliction behind a wall. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah. I want to see it played. It's interesting theory.
Yeah, like I said, like, the theory seems sound. I don't know. Like, some of it's going
to
come down.
So nice to me during this game.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
No, I'm just saying you are.
I mean, some of it's going to come down to
of having, like, you know,
of your models actually dying. yeah.
All over again.
No, it's not as good as Siege against it. Not remotely as good as Siege.
Yeah.
But
also, why is that guy not becoming a thing in the meta?
Colin, I don't know. He's just tearing it up.
He is.
No, Siege.
He is terrified, however, of scary things like Siege. Bathroom babies. Colin can't deal with them. He can't deal with bathroom babies.
I was talking to Keith, and Keith is like, oh, I can't find a second list to play with Haley, too. And I'm like, Siege.
Keith just, he likes his casters that he likes, and he's just not willing until, like, a lot of other evidence to, like, break out of the casters
Siege
that he likes.
Like,
so
the
good.
The meta has suddenly, like, just skyrocketed him into... celebrity.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Jay's been playing Siege for a while, like,
yeah,
and there's a few of them in the WTC lists. Like, he's there. Like, he's there. He's there a lot more than he was
the current
8 months
is,
ago.
The current meta is just so in a weird place.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I'm thinking about playing Fiona the Black. I agree.
Strange place we're at.
Charmin, yeah. Remember that?
Charmin? Oh, yeah. Also, Rob Shepard. It was angry by me saying that Fiona the Black is the worst Warcaster in Mercenaries. So.
I guess Hugo is just a better Merc player than Josh. We've established that at this point.
Yeah. Everyone's a better Merc player than me.
No, Crump's not. You're barely better than Crump.
I mean, Crump almost won a tournament.
Hee-haw.
Hee-haw. Who's got the chips?
We did that backwards, but, you know.
All right. And slow jerk.
Right. So we promised that we would talk about some WTC lists.
But we lied.
Oh, that would be the best.
I mean, we could talk about tournament formats and SOS.
Everyone wants more format talk out of us.
Format talk. This is all format talk all the time.
I actually think it's some of the most interesting discussion that we've had. So.
I agree.
It is, but 3 weeks of the same thing in a row, I understand.
And I also just wanted to say thanks again to the forums for being sweet. We had another 5-page-long thread that had a lot of really good discussion in it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of paragraphs.
I think the conclusion, basically, that, and I don't want to say that this was everybody's conclusion, but I think most people came to the conclusion that something needs to be done to... Well, how do I want to say this? I don't want to speak for everyone, but I think
there were a lot of different. Like,
yeah, but I think people have come to the conclusion that maybe D&C isn't the right answer, but there should be an answer in place to deal with the problems that they're trying to fix with D&C.
And then there's wild debate about what those problems actually are and whether or not those problems actually even exist. There's a lot of debate, basically.
Yeah,
but are we actually doing what we said we're going to do?
I will say that, like. So I've not liked D&C for a long time, and after listening to your guys' podcast, I decided to – so the next tournament I'm running, I'm not using D&C just because
nice.
– just try it out a few times and see how it goes.
Awesome.
I approve.
It's Sword approved. It's the best. It is the best porn star name.
Sword.
Yeah. Sword. I mean, it's better than Dagger.
Yeah, that's his kid's name.
That's going to be my kid's name. Yeah.
That's so good.
It's so good.
So the worst part is you could just go Dirk. Doesn't that work?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
That should be your kid's name. Dirk.
Dirk
Cambron.
We saw him.
Dirk.
Not really, no.
See what Karen says about
no,
that?
No, it's not. It's,
I mean, it's a weapon.
It's a type of halberd, really.
It's a pole arm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So we want to talk about
pole arm, however.
Some competitors list. So I thought we would start with, like, Malta Epic. We only want to talk about people that have a chance of winning.
Malta? Where do I find these lists? Are they on the internet or Malta? It's in the Mediterranean. It's south of Italy. There was a fortress there during World War II. The British held out for a long time.
Oh, Malta. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
You still have any idea. You have no clue. And Axis and Allies, you can totally land a plane there.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I played Axis and Allies exactly one time. That game lasted over 9 hours.
And you hated your life?
And I did not want to play it again.
Yeah.
Although, actually, I remember I was Japan or something. I don't know. But I got into a situation.
That is one of the countries in World War II.
I got into a...
Yeah. And who was Godzilla?
I got into a situation. All I remember about that game is that planes are OP.
Planes are really good.
All right. Well, let's start with England Prime, then. I think that's an interesting place to start.
Are we, like, on a website somewhere, or am I supposed to be?
WMH-WTC.com.
Did you just quickly want to, like, kick Malta in the nards, basically? Is that, like, all you were going for?
No, my point was...
What did Malta do to you?
I was going to do a bit where we just talked
Maltese.
About... We would talk about all of the lesser-known teams because of the contenders. It'd be kind of fun, but... And then I decided maybe that was bad plan.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So maybe just... So we only just got the one.
Yeah.
So they feel extra bad, basically.
Oh, shut up.
Sorry, Malta.
Or extra awesome.
All right, so England Prime is got Jamie Perkins on it, who just won for the fourth time the UK Masters.
Correct.
Which is unbelievable to win the same tournament 4 years in a row. Like, it's either Jamie's really good or the UK is really bad.
I had that almost.
Can't it be both?
I had that almost exact same when I read on Facebook. My thought process was like, oh, wow, he won 4 times in a row. You know, good job for him. And then I was like, does just nobody play in that tournament?
It's England, though. They probably have soft scores. So he just has, like, the best painted stuff, and he buys everybody a soda. No. And then he goes, like, X and one, and then he wins the whole thing.
No, that's not the case. I mean, Jamie's very good, but...
I mean, it's clearly just, you know, that's his tournament, I guess.
It is apparently his to lose. Some interesting things about this team that I picked out right away. Brett Wilkie is playing Morvana 1, which I really like.
I think if you think about the way the format is sort of set up, that since you know, like, you can kind of hold that player back. And because of the way it works, if someone else puts up two players against you, and you can identify that neither of those players, or maybe one of those players, since you get to choose mm-hmm. among the two, if one of those players has two lists that are not able to deal with her regrowth through upkeep removal.
Yeah.
Like, say, you know, let's...
And really, the only thing you really have to dodge is purification? Most of the up...
Yeah, because Iris... Because if you're putting regrowth on the blood trackers, then Iris can't shoot them because they're stealthed. But yeah,
more than once anyway.
I mean, the thing is, if you're going to take a Morvana player, that player almost certainly just straight up knows, like, everything in the game that they need to dodge.
Mm-hmm.
And if among the two list pairs that are being put that are being left on the table for you to choose from, there are no answers in both of a player's lists. Then you just pick that player and you kind of enjoy, like, an almost easy. I'm not sure how commonly that's going to occur, because I think because again of the way the format works, like, they're going to know, you know, okay, they put their Morvana player up on the table. We're going to have to put two people down that have some kind of answer in at least one of their lists.
yeah.
between the two of them. Otherwise, they're just going to snipe out the person that doesn't have an answer. So I don't think that that's probably going to work super often. But the thing is, like, Epic Morvana, it's not like you're handicapping yourself by, like, just...
Yeah, he's got it. He's got a good point. Well,
it's not like you're handicapping yourself by just lying, you know, relying back on Epic Morvana.
I mean,
right?
I think the effect that it caught. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in terms of specifically the handicapping issue, I think the only thing that I can see here, like, he doesn't like by taking both Morvanas, he doesn't have Nula for his blood trackers and regular Morvana. So he's weak. Or I mean, Epic Morvana. She's basically regular Morvana. You don't need it. But he is handicapping that list. So that's, I mean, I think that's the only, like, obvious drawback.
As far
that
as I, slow, do they both have blood trackers in it?
They do.
They do. I actually want to talk about this Morvana 2 list because I really like it. But
it's weird.
Let's finish talking about, I think what's really important about having Morvana is what it does to your opponent's list selection. I think that's why it's really smart. Because it actually forces them, because when she, it forces them either to save upkeep removal or... It forces them into, like, basically three situations. Throw somebody to the wolves. Concede the game, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Put all of your upkeep removal, like, assuming you don't have it ubiquitously across your entire team,
mm-hmm.
into the fray. Or, you know, I mean, that's – I guess that's only two situations. But,
I mean, the thing is, I don't – It might not just be a strategy. It might just be like that this guy likes playing Morvana.
Right.
Because looking through the rest of their list, I don't see anything that particularly loves or hates upkeep removal. So I don't see... So you're right. They're basically going to be ferreting the opponent team's upkeep removal out if they put this player up. But I don't know that it's really going to put them in an advantageous situation.
Because it's not protecting anything, per se.
Or even like... They could be going into a situation where they want like this is like the interesting kind of strategy thing that, like about kind of developing a team like that. I think that more players should, I think that like next year I kind of hope that there's more thought a little more thought between at least our team that goes into it because like they could do an interesting thing where they throw this player up and then assuming the other team like correctly identifies, you know, we need to put two players that have strong upkeep removal against this person, and that might be the majority of their team's upkeep removal or all of it or whatever. And then they should have one or two other, at least one other players on their team that strongly doesn't want to see upkeep hate on the other side of the table. Like, for instance, the Necro one or, I don't know, whatever, something.
Syntharion.
Yeah, whatever. So, Laborka 2.
Here's...
Yeah, something like that.
Here's something that's really interesting about this list pair. Speaking at it from a protectorate perspective, a lot of the purification in the game, not all of it, but a lot of it comes from protectorate, and Morvana 2 is an excellent protectorate drop. Like, she's a real problem for protectorate. So he's kind
of... I think there's enough purification. There's a lot of protectorate casters that have upkeep hate and purification, but I think that there's enough of it spread sort of around the entire game at this point that...
Yeah,
that's an interesting point.
I'm just saying that it makes the pairing even a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
I just want to make two broad stroke points of note. One is that this team here has three purification casters on the team.
Yeah.
I would like to think that that's probably going to be a consistency amongst the teams. Is at least three out of five will have something.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, I also noticed. I almost thought it was like a team theme. You were talking about like is all Crix or all this. As I was scrolling down, I was like, Vale. Haley. And then it was like, what was the other one?
You're right. Morvana.
Morvana. Yeah, because I'm like, oh my God, they're all just taking the same caster. Like, yeah. That's totally sweet. And then it's like, oh no, they went to Menoth. And then it was like.
Harbinger and Epic Harbinger.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah, Epic Harbinger.
That's Fiora 2.
Yeah, that's Fiora 2.
No. Good.
So they screwed up. They should have continued with their plan.
Yeah, basically they went from being, you know, A+ to, you know, D-.
D minus. Uh-huh. Yeah. Absolute D minus on snap points.
All right, we can basically just move on from this garbage team.
Yeah, exactly.
Scrubs all.
So here's something that's interesting about the Morvana 2 list. Normally we see because he's not gonna want the mirror, I don't think. Because normally we see the Gatorman Witch Doc.
Sure.
Yep.
And it's kind of important to stop RFP from boning you.
Yep.
in a lot of ways. but I do like some of his troop selections. Seeing Tharn Wolfriders makes me really happy.
It's weird. I can't think of the last time I've seen Wolfriders on the table.
It's because they're kind of bad.
I think they're not that bad.
They're pretty bad. They're not that bad when they can get regrown, but...
Are they weapon masters like Blood Trackers are in the throw?
They are.
So,
they also have the light cav move, and they're range 7.
Yeah, they're range 7. Woo!
So you end up being 12 inches away. That's, like, it's really good against melee stuff.
Well,
the problem is that a lot of their game plan has to go into, like, I want to like this unit so bad. I always have. Because they've got a lot of cool stuff, I think. Like, I also just like the idea of Wolf Riders. But there's so many things about them. Like, there's so much of their game plan goes into their prey target. And it's so easy to just deny a prey target, like, from a 5-man unit.
It's not that easy.
Aren't they speed 9?
They are speed 9.
With assault.
And range 7.
I mean, you're, like, they have to be on a flank, and you have to crisscross pretty hard if you want to really deny them, right? Like, that's hard for some lists to do.
Just hold your guy back.
Yeah. But then that prey is, like, taking your guy out of the game.
Yeah, so prey selection is a really important... That's what I'm saying. It's an important process of using these guys well.
Sure. I mean, they also have blood trackers, so...
My thought...
They can do work without prey because they got lucky, throwing things.
So that was my thought, is, right, like, this is an additional 5. Now they're lucky weapon master ranged weapons with assault under Morvana, which means this is... like dangerous assassination like capability, right?
Sure. Yeah, that's not
so bad. That may be why.
I just like them. I think it's interesting. They're very good targets to bring back with the feet, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's high value. And they're it depends on the matchup, but in certain matchups they're kind of a so there's basically two different kinds of units. There's units that are pretty good against everything, and then there's units that are broken against some things. The Crix unit, the Incorporeal unit, Black Banes, completely broken against some lists, completely worthless against others. And I feel like the Wolf Riders kind of fall in that category. In some matchups, they will be broken good. And in some matchups, they won't be as good. Like, they'll be pretty bad.
I think that their broken good is not as good as their... It's like, I don't think that the risk benefits or whatever justifies the reward. And then... The other thing about them is that they're so easy to kill. Their stats are terrible. They're like 14 13s or something like that, or 14 14s or something like that with 5 HP.
No, I think they're 15 14s.
$5.
So, but it's still like a hand cannon kills them like pretty easily.
Yeah. I mean...
The Wolf Riders, though. Yeah.
Remember that she's got Fog of War, so they're going to be def 17 against ranged, so...
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Chad. I think they seem... I think that's why we haven't seen them, is they seem super fragile. But they...
I mean, this is a situation where it's like, I love to be proven wrong, because like I said, I love the Wolf Rider. Like, I've always loved that unit.
Yeah.
If I ever played Circle, like, I would have definitely bought them.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I think that there's a reason that they don't get played is what I'm trying to make.
I think there's a lot of things in the game that don't get played without a reason, and we find out, oh, maybe they should get played.
That's true, too. I mean, there's a lot of groupthink in this game.
Yep.
I mean, but it's sort of the same as, like, last year in WTC, there was a ton of Storm Lances. And it's like, I don't know. It's like they are good, but...
Not good enough that it didn't prove anything to you about... People should be taking Storm Lances.
I just think it's a difference of style, maybe.
And meta, maybe a little bit. I don't even know.
But, yeah. And it's like, Storm Lances are definitely good, but, like... Because that's one of the things, like, we took, like, infinite flack for that when we were over there, because everyone was, like, just giving us constant, like, crap about, you know, why do you guys hate Storm Lances so much? Like, what's wrong about Storm Lances? And we're just like, They're just not good.
Actually, 5-wound heavy cavalry in general is pretty bad.
Yep.
I mean, that's just the basic. And Storm Lances are as close to salvageable as you can get, but they're still not great.
They've got really good guns, yeah. I mean...
They're fine.
And they're
playable.
Good at charging and everything. Yeah, I mean, they're... They're not bad. They're just, like, I don't think that they're...
Worth the points.
It's not even that I don't think that they're worth the points. I don't think that they're in every list unit, though, which is what we were kind of seeing.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's, like, the same thing with... Maybe that's sort of the same thing with Wolf Riders. And I'm not even saying, like, you know, Wolf Riders are terrible and you should never take them. But it's, like, Maybe if we saw like six lists that all had Wolf Riders, I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
But it's just one off. It's like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, and especially you may have a very good point.
I just like double reroll to hit and like access and to double reroll to hit and then, yeah, and then Weapon Master. Like, that's scary.
So if you spray your caster right off the bat,
yeah,
just hanging out in Fog of War.
Right.
Yeah.
With stalkers and teleporting.
Yeah.
And, that is, you're right. That is actually something definitely to fear. Like, if your caster ever is not camping enough, they could just be like,
yeah, it's time.
Go.
Yeah.
Rerolls, double rerolls.
I mean, how many times have we watched Colin, like, just be like, well, I think I'm going to lose this game, so it's time for the reroll assassination. Yep, got it. Like, yeah.
That's true. Every single game.
Every single time.
Every single time.
Like, he's ever won a game legitimately, actually.
Yep, that's right. You heard it here first. Bobbliness has never won a legitimate game of War Machine.
And then we have the very original Jamie Perkins playing Vale 2.
Yep.
Expect to see this a lot.
I mean, he is playing Vale 1, so he's handicapping himself pretty a bit.
Yeah,
pretty bad,
right?
There.
Yeah. Okay. Vale 1.
You weren't here for this.
Vale 1 at one time was the powerhouse Legion cap.
Can I just say that, is it Dark Watcher? Dark whatever?
Dark Sentinel.
Dark Sentinel. That might be the most tilting like thing in the game to forget about. When you're going in, there was a time when I could have just, like, Gorman could have just sacked to aim and blinded Typhon, but instead I was like, oh, I want to get a better angle here and make sure I'm within four. I'll just step up. And then he got, like, flung to death by models that couldn't kill him if it just, like, ugh. Like, it's just so tilting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
What do we think of his Veil list? It looks pretty standard.
Which one?
Ba-boom,
his Veil 2 tier list.
Is that the console or the disciple?
Console.
It's the one with a million extra things that it shouldn't have.
Oh, right.
Got with, a third Angelus instead of...
It's got a free heavy.
I usually see like a Scythian in there to sort of keep people honest. But.
Yeah, but three Angelus is good business done, especially with purification and then obliterate backup for a little extra damage.
Yeah, I think just missing the Scythian is the only thing that stands out to me. I don't necessarily always see 10 Legionnaires. I guess that's
a tier list thing.
Pretty. You have to have 10
to get to whatever tier you got to. Tier 4, yeah.
Unoriginal. I thought
exactly.
It's not a min unit.
Boring.
You can't take a min unit.
You can, but I mean, they're 4/6, and then they feed the pot. So
yeah.
We're not like we're not like going all in enough on this like gimmick.
Yeah.
So it's just making us sound like assholes.
we're not focused on Fury. But, I mean, honestly...
we're worse.
Yeah. I didn't want to bash England. I was waiting for a couple other countries.
All right, we'll get there. Right. We're moving a little slow. Let's look at his Veil 2 list. There's nothing to really discuss. His Veil 1 list, Typhon is like an auto-include with her, really good. Seraph is interesting. I don't see her come out to play much anymore.
It's really, really good with Veil 1 because of Insight.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say the main person that I see play Veil 1 is Marshall because everyone plays Veil 2, so why would I see Veil 1? But Marshall still plays her, and he plays her with a Seraph. Like, it's good.
I think
also it's another extra 2 inches on top of her threat range.
Exactly.
Increasing.
Yep.
And she is kind of like the forgotten caster in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Which is weird because she's still really freaking good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah.
So this is kind of crazy. This list has no Deathstalkers in it.
I just want to say this English team is like the epitome of why I couldn't look at lists for the last like 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Because I start looking down and I'm like, oh, Morvana. Like, it starts off and it's like, oh, they're top players. Like, or their team captains, Morvana. And Morvana 1, rather. That's kind of interesting. Morvana 2, that's a little boring. Okay. Next guy, Jamie P, Legion, Veil. All right. Okay. Next guy, Signar, Haley, all right, okay. Next guy, Protectorate with Harbinger. Oh, you know, go. It's just so boring and bland, and everyone's like, all of the teams are like this. Like, literally every team is just like, there's a Crix player, and there's a Signar player, and there's a Legion player, and then add two.
Yep.
This Captain Victoria Haley list is interesting.
Yeah?
Storm Lances and Tempest Blazers. A lot of speed.
I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And gun mages.
I think it's not even the speed that like those cavalry models, all they're gonna do are ride by attacks.
Yeah, I mean it's really good with temporal.
They're just gonna ride by forward a couple of inches, shoot you, and then ride by back.
Okay. Yeah, temporal barrier.
Pretty good.
The feet. More guns for the feet.
And then light cav moves. for the Tempest Blazers. So yeah,
Stormwall would tone to his own and be pretty safe, and for Haley to hide behind.
Boring. Yeah,
exactly.
It's interesting that there's no Cloud Dwarves, which is something I...
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I hadn't thought about that. That's... Yeah. Well, there's Gorman. Gorman and the Stormwall.
Yeah, she's got Gorman and a Stormwall. I don't think she needs...
So he's playing Stormwall in each list, I think. So I'm probably on record as hating the Colossals the most out of all of us.
Sure.
But I hate two lists with a Colossal in each list, unless you're Mark's...
The Colossal faction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because... People should be prepared to take a Colossal off the board pretty trivially.
Yeah.
And if they are, then you just are giving up a lot.
To a certain extent, I agree with your statement that people should be prepared to take a Colossal off the board trivially. And I think that was definitely true, like, after the release of Colossals for a little while. Like, but I kind of feel like, as time has gone on, that, like, I'm seeing less... Like, I feel like when I'm playing my list more often, I'm like, okay, this and this I remove, and now the Earthbreaker is pretty much safe. And, like, I feel like before I wasn't necessarily... I was like, oh, like, I just have to, like, kill this all. My Earthbreaker is for sure dead. But, like, even against Krix, to a certain extent, there are lists that I play against. I'm just like, well, if I kill that unit and that unit, like, I'm probably safe, and this Colossal is going to run the table. So it may just be that the meta is in a place right now where it's a little safer than it used to be.
Yeah, but don't... Go ahead.
Sorry, it's the same for the Prime Axiom, too, especially because he can put out so many attacks.
Yeah.
That you can just, you know, you can just sit there and just mow down anything that gets close to you. And then, you know, you have options available to you to take out those key pieces that can take down the Prime Axiom, and then you're fine.
Yeah. I mean, I admit that I have a little bit of, like, first world privilege in that I have like 14-inch range Colossals that like can sit way back and like do their thing, but
I'm just saying.
Well, that's what the Stormwall is.
There's a lot of armor spam in the game now.
There is, yeah.
And I feel like two lists with Colossals might get caught in the crossfire. And the problem with having a Colossal on your list is it just bends your list so much that it becomes the focal point. Like, you need it.
If any two casters, however, can deal with, like, I'm going to protect my Colossal, it's Haley, right?
Yeah, I was
right?
going to say. Because, like, and they both protect them from different, like, Haley 1 protects it, obviously, from melee. And Haley 2 protects it from range.
Mm-hmm.
And
melee to a certain extent with the feet, like, she gets time.
Well,
so
both kind of do.
Yeah.
And they both have Storm Lances to sort of be bodyguards.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. Usually, I feel like this Haley list combination is gonna be okay probably, but you're right, like, it does activate. There could be a list that doesn't activate all these people's armor cracking, which is
especially in this format where, like, they can probably just put the Signar player up and just be like, okay, it's Haley and Haley, you know, like, we've specifically talked about her before in terms of, like, what other caster in the game has fewer bad matchups.
Yeah, that's true.
Into the Epic Haley.
Yeah.
I think actually
putting... Like, whatever the two players they put up, you know, they can just be like, okay, well, obviously I'm going to pick this guy because he can't, you know...
Let me say this in a different way. I think putting a Stormwall in your Haley 2 list opens up more bad matchups than you would have if you didn't have it in it. And I might be wrong about that, but that's just my opinion.
It definitely makes her play a different game.
Yeah.
Probably a less, like, Haley powerful focus, like a Haley focus power game, like, definitely less. That's, I'm not really saying that very well, but
don't get me wrong, I'm glad there's no Arc Node, because Haley with an Arc Node is my least favorite thing in the world.
Specifically with Thorn, I just want to puke. Yeah. I want to puke.
Yep.
Yeah. Being able to engage an Arc is amazing.
Amazingly boring.
So we'll talk about Paul Norris Protectorate list. His Harbinger list is what I would consider to be very standard.
Yep.
Pretty much the usuals.
What's that? Errants? An Avatar?
Yeah.
Reckoner? Redeemer? Boring! Yeah.
You know,
Fiora 2.
Actually, I really like this Fiora 2 list.
I do too, actually.
It has Templars. Really Templars. The Templars save him from an immediate boring, so go ahead and talk about it for a second if you want.
You haven't played this Fiora 2 list.
Actually, I was looking at it, and the only thing that I would probably change is I might switch out one Vassal for a Reclaimer, since you already have the Temple Flame Guard.
Interesting.
Yeah, more focus.
More focus is always good in a list like that. Or potentially leave the Vassal and switch out something else, like... Maybe
the,
drop...
The Flame Guard don't need a UA, really.
Yeah, or you could drop the Flame Guard to min plus UA, if you prefer that, either way.
What's the UA do for them? It just gives them Iron Zeal and...
Flaming Attacks.
Yeah.
Which is nice. It's more fire for her feat turn.
I think I like the Reclaimer better than the UA. I like this list, though. I like this list a lot.
Actually, I really
All
like
North,
it.
All North, A+.
Yeah. It's it actually is a list after.
No, you got it.
For the Hera Harbinger list, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's
Also, they apparently spell Gormund DeWolf's name with an O in England because it's in a couple places here. Mm. Gormund DeWolf.
Wolfie.
Mm-hmm. Wolfie. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So, original points for that. Originality points for that.
But this actually looks exactly. This is almost the same list or very similar to lists that I've played in the past. It's just updated. Mm. So I used to play Double Vanquisher. That's very similar to Adjudicator with its bonded.
True.
And I used to play a Templar and an Avatar, which is very similar to two Templars. So, like, it's same conceptually very similar.
No bond. I mean, he's bonding the Adjudicator for the guns, mm-hmm. which... And you specifically bonded a Templar so that you could sort of replicate having two Avatars.
Yes. Like I said, it's a little different. But
so, The focus is a little different, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
But I do like it. I think Fiora, too...
I just want to say that
has fallen a little to the wayside.
Bonding the Adjudicator is some extreme BS because with escort and turn one running and then an ancillary attack, you can very easily have stuff in your deployment zone on fire on the start of your turn one.
Yeah,
some serious BS.
Yeah, Josh didn't like that.
If only Protectorate had a artillerist. They're never, ever going to get one, by the way.
No,
in
no.
In a million, billion
awful.
Years.
It's not
going
to happen.
You can have Pathfinder for your jacks before you have Artillerist.
I would rather have Artillerist, but that being said, that's because I like broken stuff, just like the next
Did time. You hear that? I would rather have Artillerist. So clearly Pathfinder's not a problem, because you didn't jump to solve it when I gave you the chance.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've dreamed about Artillerist.
Yeah.
I mean, we have Redeemers and we have Judicators. It would just be the dumbest thing ever.
I hope they give Trolls Artillerist someday.
They did give you Artillerist.
No, they didn't.
Bank Shot?
That's not Artillerist.
Bank Shot!
That's Bank Shot. I want Artillerist.
I want Protectorate to get a Bank Shot.
Well, as soon as you get War Beasts, yeah, I guess you will. Yeah.
Weird.
Bizarre.
Let's talk about Matt Oakley. Denegar 2.
That's a Crix... person, so we don't have to talk about that at all.
A Crix person.
Nothing original there.
Classic Keith.
Zenger 2, Scar 1.
Oh, I like...
With a Kraken.
I like his Denny 2 list. This is interesting. It's got... I've not seen Wrong Eye and Snapjaw with Denny 2, but in thinking about it...
Wait, what? Keith played Wrong Eye and Snapjaw with Denny 2, didn't he?
No, he didn't. No.
For a little while?
I don't think so.
He used to play Wrong Eye and Snapjaw with Denny 1.
Yeah.
All right.
Like 5 years ago.
But,
That can't possibly be true. Yeah.
But this list has Nightmare, which has Stealth, and then it also has another Heavy with Wrong Eye and Snapjaw that is very similar to Stealth with Submerge in some ways better.
Better than Stealth.
So they've got Heavies that they can deliver, and then they can lock you in place with the feat.
This seems like an assassination list.
Even without an assassination list, it's also a very heavy alpha list because it can put two heavies into things that you love. Mm-hmm. She has good debuffs. So
This is like a less sort of like complicated or rather clustered, jammed, aren't like we see Denny 2 with a lot of infantry a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And this seems like a much easier to navigate in playlist just looking at it, like thinking about moving Denny around to make the feat like... as effective as possible and position your pieces. It just seems like an easier list in that regard than some Denny 2 lists that I...
Yeah, I really like the Wrong Eye Snapjaw plus Nightmare combo. Bane Thralls, the Texas Raiders, Weather Shadow, blah, blah, blah. Normal stuff.
Boring!
Oh, the Scar 1 list is crazy.
Yep.
Kraken.
Oh, look, Scar with the Texas Raiders and
Kraken
Blood Witch.
Not super, like, out there with Scar 1. I've seen a lot of people do it. What's weird is Kraken and Deathjack.
Yeah, it's a very heavy battle group. I mean, we're used to seeing Scar 1 with, like, a million dudes.
I think Scar 1 with a million dudes crushes this version of Scar 1. Like,
probably. Well, there's just too many points wrapped up in the Deathjack in that.
Yeah.
It's over half a list there.
Yeah, it is.
No,
but I mean, what Crix player doesn't play Denny 2 under the Crix matchup?
So no Mechanithral recursion between either Crix list.
Yep.
None.
Weird, England. Weird.
What? What? WTF, yo. GG, broski. GG.
GG, broski.
So I'm really not serious about doing anything this year. Moving on to the next
scene. Who do we want to talk about next?
Let's just get to Poland. That's where Nigel wants to go.
What?
Don't you want to go to Poland?
Well, again, I was going to focus on teams that were serious this year.
Oh, sick burn. Suck it, Poland. Boring.
We're gonna get lit on fire.
No, we're not. I am. You're coming with. Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about Belgium
or Germany Black?
Let's talk about Germany Black.
Yeah. Germany Black.
They're
Germany
Black guaranteed
the
to be that, boring.
One team that beat USA Team 2 last year. That was my team.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, if I recall correctly, there was a lot of talk at the WTC last year specifically about them being one of the like front runners for winning the whole thing.
Efficient German machines, I believe, was frequently referenced.
But then Poland got some get back.
Yeah, Poland, yeah. Yep. Poland took them down. But
that's probably not okay.
Revenge.
You're just gonna let it go. Maybe they would totally overlook it.
So Janos was the same team captain that they had last year, their Crix player. And he played against Mike Preer, if I recall correctly. It was a really, really close game. Asphyxius 2 versus Harbinger, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Very close game. So he's definitely a good player. My eyes are kind of glazing over looking at these lists, though.
Yeah, it's boring.
Well, no,
Lich Lord Asphyxius, although he has Blackbane's Ghost
Raiders. I was
going to
say, Blackbane's is an interesting inclusion. And then he also has Deathjack, right?
No,
I'm looking at the wrong list.
Not with
nope, not with either of his casters.
I was looking at Australia Green.
Well, that's not really the... We're going to go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Australia Green's list and Jeremy Black's list
oh,
look the
up.
Same. Boring.
Besides the Blackbane's Ghost Raiders, it seems like a pretty standard epic Lich list.
It is.
I mean, Lich has some requirements when you build his list. You have to have Bile Thralls.
Yeah.
You definitely want Banes to bring back... You definitely want.
What's interesting, it's Tartars. Just a main unit of Bane Thralls.
Yep.
So I assume he's just.
No UA. Oh, no. Bane Thrall Officer in Standard. There it is.
Yeah.
Yep. Or, just, no, that's. Yeah.
Seems like that's just like he probably cut the points out there to make the room for the Black Banes.
What I was thinking is on the Biles. No attachment Scarlet Commander for the Biles.
That's not necessary.
I'm sure it's not necessary, but...
It's so, good, but it's not necessary.
What do
it's
we,
only one point.
What do we think the reason the Black Banes are in there?
With Rengrave, they're actually more accurate than you would expect for Crix troops to be. And then he's got Parasite, so their Pow 10 is not as big of a... Between Parasite and the Bane Thralls, their Pow 10 is not that big of a downside. And then that gives them sort of a mat 8 that doesn't rely on... Tartarus being alive, it just relies on Blackbane being alive, which is almost as bad or worse.
It's also a good anti-Crix unit, so I'm assuming this is his Crix on Crix matchup.
But he can feed them back and they're in Corporal, right?
Yeah.
Because his feet specifically says they're ghostly.
Yeah, I think it may override. I'm not positive, though.
Okay. I didn't know if they would retain the properties of the trooper.
I don't think so, but I don't know. That's a good question.
Because I'm just thinking, like, he may catch some people if that... I don't know the interaction, but if that is the interaction, he may catch some people off guard.
Yeah.
Well, I know that they're really bad feet targets because they're mat 6, pow 10.
Well, if you have Rengrave, though, and you're going for the assassination, if you can get Parasite on their caster
sure.
and they can get there, mat 8's 10 of them is enough to...
Yeah.
Mat
8, pow 13.
I guess they're not reach, though.
No,
so.
You're not going to get 10 of them.
And they also set on fire.
Yeah.
Which is... A thing on caster, so
it's I don't know, it's interesting.
It's interesting. Well, I mean, they have other uses too. They're in some matchups, they'll be really good. Like,
that's always true, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is like, that's the reason they're probably there is just because they don't, you don't sacrifice a whole lot by having them in this list. Like, it's not like this, it's not like it changes the game plan of the Lich list, and then just having them against certain matchups will just kind of make it a lock against you.
Yeah, it gives him some interesting advantages, and it doesn't appear to disadvantage him too much, except maybe it. Well, I guess he's got Parasite, so like an armor skew may not be
Dark
that
Shroud.
Bad. Yeah.
Tanagra List has Bane Riders. That's the only thing that stands out to me is different.
Boom Howlers.
That's fine. Bane Riders are just good.
Yep. I mean, they are. There's some. It gives the opponent some high value targets that, without like any real good way to protect them. So
sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's just classic, not Trollkin like cavalry problem. So.
So what's interesting about the Bane Riders is there's no Dera Wraith with this list.
You are correct.
Really like them a lot better when he's around. That. What's the -2 to your attack rolls or damage rolls?
Beyond death.
Beyond death.
I just don't get why people would want us to talk about WTC. Please critique us with your non-expert opinion.
I mean, it's just interesting things, and I think we're giving them more perspective on what we're used to in our meta mm-hmm. versus what we're seeing in a worldwide meta.
Sure.
And trying to understand some of their choices. I don't know. I think it's – if people hate it, we don't have to do it again. If they like it, we'll do it again. Some different lists.
Robin Malkish, Legion, Epic Veil, Saren, Boring.
Yeah.
Boring. This is actually Whoa. Just straight up.
Hold on. Two rakes.
Yeah.
What? That's the anti-Edeni tech.
Hold on.
Oh, that's cold.
I mean, he's hardcore daggered.
Dagger.
This is not a tier list, and it's very
It
different.
Is a tier list. It says tier is 4.
It is a tier Vail's
list. Two is. It sure
Typhon's
is.
In the tier list?
Yeah. Hmm. It's Vail, yo.
But it's very different. It's got Seraph, Typhons, only one Ravagor, less Angelaces and Rakes.
Yeah.
It's weird. I didn't realize Typhon was in the theme force.
Yeah. I'm curious. I'm wondering what the purpose of the Rakes is, and that's what I'm trying to figure out right now. I'm sure there's a very good reason for a specific matchup, but it's not coming to me right away. Interesting to think about.
What's his animus is parry, right?
Yeah.
Self though.
No, it's self. It's not 6 inches. Yeah. It's yeah, self. It's oh my goodness, that's a terrible animus.
I mean, rakes do get places and yeah. do things.
You can get yeah. to support.
Oh, I know. It's happened to me.
Oh, you know what? Maybe it's four. Maybe it's to hold zones.
Since they're stealth and they can just sit in the back of the zone.
Yeah, and they're actually a pain to kill because they're yeah. def 15, armor 14.
Maybe
they're 15, 16. I don't remember.
They are...
Rakes are 15s?
I believe they're 14 15s, and they become 15, 16s with Tenacity.
Oh, yeah. I think...
They might go to 16.
Yeah,
they might
go
be,
to 16s with Tenacity.
I think
gross.
They go to 16.
They may go to tenacity. 16 with Tenacity, actually.
My iPad died. I can't immediately go to the...
15, 14.
Yeah, so they go to 16, 15.
That's pretty dumb.
I mean, there's no tenacity. Oh, there's a spawning vessel, of course, because it's a stupid tier list.
Yeah. So maybe that's the purpose, because then the rest of the list can kind of sit back and play the refuge game and without giving away scenario.
Yeah, I was playing against Abby 2 the other day, and my opponent had a rake that I couldn't clear out of the zone with my Mat 11 Kiazi, so that was annoying. So, yeah, that could be the reason.
Yeah. Well, the thing is... you know, Vail lists are very good at scalping out stuff, so they can just take out the things that are dangerous to the rake and then not give up the zone and not give you anything valuable, like not give up an angel to contest the zone. I mean, a rake is 4 points, but it's...
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, maybe.
And then on the Saren list, I love this list. The rake is in there for the 5-inch AoE.
Blight Bomb or whatever.
Yeah. Blightbringer.
Blightbringer.
Yeah.
But... Afflictors actually kind of mint a lot of points with Saren because they get to go in and make 2 incubi, and then they get to make 2 more. So a lot in the same way that...
Each afflictor gets to make 1.
Right.
And there are 2 afflictors.
Right.
So, yeah, because they only get to make 1 a turn.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but you make 2 one turn, 2 another turn, and then...
It guarantees that each afflictor is going to get at least 2 turns of stabbing people and injecting them with incubus juice.
So Bone Grinder just to... Increase the range on...
Absolutely. Breath Stealer. Yep.
Yeah.
I was trying to think if there was an Animus who was concerned about losing, but the only thing I can think of is the Scythian in certain matchups, which doesn't really seem Can they actually? Can they? They can only cast minion and or can they cast?
No, they can cast your animus.
They can. Okay. Yeah.
But animuses that they harvest do become friendly faction. So if they harvest, like, for instance, rage from trolls, they can only cast it on other minion models.
Okay.
It's garbage.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so they have to harvest like a if they want to be able to harvest it and cast it on
your models. Then yeah. Okay.
It has to be. It has to be a friendly anime.
Okay.
Which tenacity is, and that's probably. I mean,
you can also respawn on an afflictor and just to be annoying. Keep those afflictors alive with respawn.
Yep.
Christian Metz with Butch 3.
Yep.
Fairly standard Butch 3 list, but he's playing Kador, so I won't boring him.
Yeah, we're not gonna. Yeah.
Yeah. Not a serious player, apparently.
This is the...
He's the throat of the wolves guy. Like, you get to go out first every round and then just take whatever and then, yeah.
Germany Black just has, like, casual hero, like, slot on their team. They're like, four best players in Germany and then casual hero.
Yeah.
What do you think this list is designed to do?
Butch 3.
This particular version.
Is designed to Butch 3.
So, like, double black dragons and then...
It's got Nyss Hunters.
It's double black dragons and Nyss.
I do like the Nyss Hunters. Although Nyss Hunters with Valachev and certain other lists is really good. Actually, more interesting is that he's playing Vlad 2. Do you think that he did that because of all the proliferation of High Reclaimer and Lich?
And Clouds, Cloud and City.
Just Clouds in general?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to get that matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Cloud versus Wind Blast matchup.
Yeah. He might just not be confident in, like, you know, he probably considers B3 his first list, and then his second list, he just wants to play something he's comfortable with or whatever.
I was also going to say, B3 is not the Crakes drop, right? So maybe he's just like, B3, and then my Crakes drop, because a lot of players seem to reach for Vlad 2 as their Crakes drop for some reason, but that just seems to be the case.
Mm-hmm. He's got Behemoth on Andre in his Vlad 2 list.
Behemoth. Wow. Yeah, Behemoth on Andre.
It's pretty good. You don't have to commit it to late, and then plus
and
two
his
speed.
Jack is what, Drago?
Yeah.
Yep.
Drago's a great jack for Vlad. So.
Yeah, I do kind of like Andre and Vlad, too. Like, getting to feed on Andre with his focus.
He's a character.
Oh, is it non-characters? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know
Otherwise,
that.
Otherwise, they'd feed on the Great Bears.
I also like the Marauder.
That's a good point. The would absolutely feed on the Great Bears.
Four players did that.
Yeah.
What?
The Marauder on Vlad 2 list is just out-of-control bonkers. Because you put a sail on it, and then it charges for free plus 2 inches, and then it power slam. It does that combo slam for plus 2 inches to the slam distance.
Uh-huh.
So you just like get this like pow 20. I mean, it's just like a stupid 0.7 point jack that like does way over its pay grade crap. It's pretty sweet.
I really like the armor 25 jack, so that you put a sail on and then just like slamming all over the place. And whatever.
Yeah, not opening up.
Yeah,
and just like being a nuisance in the scenario.
Whereas Drago just lets you down.
Oh.
Poor Drago.
That was a bronze back I just took, like, almost a system down on.
Yeah, this list is what? It's Doom Reavers and Outriders and Winter Guard Rifle Corps. This and Behemoth. It seems like it's his anti Crix infantry list. Probably.
No, what did he have for his melee troops in there?
Doom Reavers. Okay. One unit of Doom Reavers.
Yeah, that's good enough.
And one unit of Eliminators.
Yep, that's more than enough to feed on.
Yep. And Outriders for his Hand of Fate and...
He's got Rifle Corps for Hand of Fate, too.
Yeah.
So he can cycle it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Pretty strong.
For Kador.
Yep.
Not boring. Moritz Riegler with Menoth. This is the guy that you played, right, Chad?
Yeah, this is the guy that gave me one of the most embarrassing games I've ever played.
I was embarrassed for you when I watched the replay.
And put online.
Nice.
Yep. So his Harbinger list obviously isn't the same as it was last year because Tristan isn't it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he still has the Steelhead Halberdiers with the Attendant Priest.
This is a very 2013 Harbinger list with Arrants, and he had Steelheads last year, I think.
Yeah, I know, that's what I was saying. He still has those Steelheads.
Oh,
bazang, you
bro.
Broski. Broski.
All right, Chief.
Is Rupert really not on the list, or am I just missing him?
Rupert is not in the list.
Interesting.
He's in the other list.
Rupert is in the High Reclaimer
list. Whoa, that is kind of weird.
Yeah, so that's things you don't expect to see.
Indeed. So those exemplar errands, they'll just die.
That's obviously just a character restrictions. Like, I mean, I think he just probably
made the choice.
Yeah.
Did he play High Reclaimer as his other list last year? Do you remember?
No, I don't think so. I think it was
Kreos 3, I think. But I'm not sure.
Yeah, Kreos 3 sounds right.
So, is his Reclaimer list Cloud City?
No. But we'll get to that in a second. Another thing that's interesting is his Tristan has got a Reckoner on it, and High Reclaimer has got a Redeemer on it.
Mm-hmm. You mean Harbinger.
Harbinger, sorry. Yeah. Redeemer on High Reclaimer, not so sweet.
I mean, so if he's going...
He's maximizing Fortify.
Yeah, that's the point that I made earlier.
Yeah, so which is good, but what I don't like is it's got a larger investment on... well, I guess Harbinger fixes that with Martyrdom, so it's not a problem.
Yeah, this is actually the one caster that just gets to be like, don't care that I have a, like, junior. He'll live forever, right?
Yeah. My thinking is, and I don't know if this is right, but I would consider swapping the battle groups because the Redeemer requires 3 focus a turn, and Harbinger's focus is valuable because a lot of times she wants to camp, or she can use it to heal for more martyrs, or she can use it for lots of other things, where Tristan doesn't have anything else to do but feed his jack.
Feed focus. Is Fortify for some reason limited to his battle group?
It is.
Okay.
It is. So he's getting +2 armor on a heavy, which is good.
Yeah. I mean, that's obviously the reason why, but like you said, but yeah.
But the Reckoner often runs with 1 focus allocated to it a turn versus 3 for the Redeemer.
Yeah.
So Harbinger gaining effectively 2 focus for most turns would allow her to basically get enough.
Caster can afford it.
Yeah, but I mean, she could get an extra martyr every turn. Because if she could afford to not be camping that, she could martyr again and heal for 2. And that's a lot. Like, that adds up.
It's an interesting balance, probably.
Yeah.
I think that his game plan is probably not as much on martyring as since Rupert is not in this list.
Yeah, and another thing that's interesting with the Steelhead Halberdiers is they have set defense. So if she gets up in the business, there's Def 13, and she fully camps, she's pretty hard to kill. And he's got a Devout, right? Good. Awe stacked on set defense makes those guys Def 17,
yep,
which makes them a lot harder to remove. And then he also can martyr them on top of that if he chooses to because of the Attendant Priest. So it's interesting. It just...
Do Temple Flameguard not have set defense?
They do.
I every time I look at this, did you talk to him last year at all about why he had Steelheads on his list? It's strange to me.
Because it allows him... The Steelheads can get Pathfinder and Magic Weapon with the Attendant Priest.
With the Attendant Priest? Okay.
And you can't get either.
Okay.
So he doesn't... I'm guessing he doesn't have Ion on Hold, and he also doesn't have...
He doesn't have Ion on Hold in either list, actually.
So he doesn't have Rupert, so it solves the Pathfinder problem for him.
That is really strange. 2 Manathless, no Ion on Hold.
Yep. Hmm. High Reclaimer, Man After My Own Heart. Interesting list.
Iridian Skirmishers.
Yeah, I think most of the High Reclaimer lists have Idrians in them.
You played Idrians for a little while with High Reclaimer, didn't you?
I've done it, yeah. The problem is they're very expensive, and even if you get to feed them back, and they actually... It's hard to get as much work out of them as you need. I mean, they're good. Don't get me wrong.
13 points of work is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot. Because I've played them with Magnus before.
Yeah.
And with Snipe or Calamity, it's easier. Yeah. But it's even then, it's kind of hard to get 13 points of work out of a unit. Like, it just is. So,
I mean, Clouds help.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. And then he has a feat. They're a good feat target. Bastions. I'm actually really, really glad to see 1 unit of Bastions instead of 2. He's got Avatar and a Reckoner and a Choir. So that's good. Does he have Choir?
He does have Choir. Choir of Menoth, leader in 3 grunts, 2 points.
And Devout?
No Devout.
No Devout.
No Devout.
Nope, he's got a Reckoner and an Avatar.
What's going to stop him from dying to Striker 2? That's my question, John.
You don't drop this against Striker
2. He does have Orn Midwinter.
That
so
will help.
Maybe.
No Covenant of Menoth with the High Reclaimer.
Well, he's got it with Harbinger.
Harbinger.
That's one of the reasons why I don't play Harbinger in my 2 list with High Reclaimer. Because they both really want the Covenant.
Yeah.
You just don't play Harbinger.
I don't play her a lot. I don't actually enjoy her that much.
I've never seen you play Harbinger.
I played her at 1 or 2 tournaments.
She doesn't do anything except be annoying.
No, she's really good. She's really strong. She just doesn't fit what I like to do.
So anyway, I guess not boring, but I'm tired of talking about Protectorate, so let's talk about Inomei and his convergence.
Yeah, this is actually...
Oh, Cirrus.
This is something we talked about. We thought we'd see a little more of this.
Yeah. So, Cintharion, Tier 4, not too shocking there.
Yeah.
Diffuser, Galvanizer, Simulator, Cypher, Modulator, Axiom.
Jason Watts list.
This is Watts list, yes. Pretty close. Yeah.
Yes. I actually think they're both Watts lists.
Lucant, Corollary, Inverter. Wasn't an Inverter in Lucant's list with Watt?
Yeah, so Watt's list is basically Lucant's list, but instead of... So he's using reductors here instead of Watt uses obstructors.
Yeah, that's okay. True. Yeah.
Okay.
So the reductors are nice because they can spray off whatever ties up
the reciprocators. Yup. So sort of the established lists by the one guy that's played Convergence in high-level tournaments, I guess.
Yeah.
But more
boring.
But more importantly, like the addition of Convergence to your team, it's actually not boring, just by that fact.
Yeah.
Because it gives them a lot of, I think Lucant is kind of a boogeyman.
He is.
Right now. And I think you can scare out a lot of people. Like, you could probably scare... If they could develop entire team strategies around this Convergence player, I think. And I don't know what those team strategies are, and, we'd have to probably look at it a lot more in depth. But, you could probably fear... you could probably flush out a lot of, specific matchups and lists if you just throw this Convergence player up to, up to the wolves at the beginning of the team selection or the list selection or whatever, whatever you want to call that. Because Lucant requires he sort of scares out very specific answers, right?
He does. He's what I would consider to be a meta bender. Because your Signar player probably doesn't want anything to do with him in general. Mm-hmm. Your
Dat Cray,
yeah, only Cray.
He tends to have very good matchups in a lot of Legion matchups. So I don't know. He's good.
Who does he have a bad matchup against? That's what
He does not have a large volume of attacks.
Yeah, a Crick Swarm, maybe.
I can tell you that Cloud City pretty much shoves it in him.
Really?
And he doesn't enjoy it. Yeah, that's about as one-sided a matchup as I've played with it.
Hmm. Do you guys feel like Lucant, and for Convergence in general, do you feel like people are experienced fighting against it at this point? They've been out enough and...
Well, the thing is, he doesn't do anything tricky except for please do not fall for the...
By all means, come in and kill the Axiom.
Basically, don't... He's got Pathfinder, so if you come in with your caster to kill the Axiom... I've seen that happen to Butcher several times, Butcher 3 several times. He comes in and kills the Axiom. And then Lucant is a monster in melee by himself.
He's no Butcher.
We don't need to tell people about that. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I think there's a video of Watt doing that.
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two specifically a Butcher player.
Yep. And then, yeah.
You got butched.
You got Jason Watted.
It's interesting. At some point, we need to go into some dojo, because I have some Lucant dojo.
We dojoed earlier this episode. This very episode.
It did happen. There was both Convergence and Mercenary dojo.
I know. I didn't want to steal Sword's Thunder, or Dagger's Thunder, or Dirk's Thunder, or whatever it is.
Excalibur.
Mighty proud of yourself, aren't you?
You didn't want to swallow his sword.
I've heard that the Crix players can have a pretty tough matchup against Lucant, despite common wisdom that Crix is good against armor spam and heavy spam.
Hmm. Yeah, I think because he beat Tom Guan twice.
Just because of the reductors, or because not the reductors, just because of the Enigma Foundries.
Yeah.
Some of the best recursion. That's great.
Yeah. And they're tough to scalp all out when you've got four shield guards.
Yeah. So, although Soul Hunter's pretty good.
Soul Hunters.
Oh, they take the souls. Yeah.
Good thing nobody takes those.
Gorshade 3, he's bringing them back.
Gorshade 3 is bringing it back.
I mean, Tom Guan went so far in the tank because he couldn't beat Lucant that he ended up putting Black Banes because they RFP and Soul Hunters and a stupid Harrower. Because the Harrower denies soul recursion as well. Yeah.
So I play a lot of Lucant, and in my local meta, someone started bringing more and more RFB.
Yeah.
It's kind of painful.
Yeah.
Don't like it.
Foundries become really interesting decoration if they deny you all the soul collection and RFB.
Hey, they're still shield guards, right?
Yeah. I played against the only reason I played against that stupid Tom Guan list, and no, they're not. Shut up. I played against that stupid Tom Guan list, and I didn't get a single soul with High Reclaimer, and it was about it was miserable. Mm-hmm. And he was so smiling and happy.
Does High Reclaimer need souls?
I would prefer to get them when he's killing my dudes.
Does High Reclaimer need souls?
Actually, here's a little tidbit about
Low Reclaimer. Yeah, am I right.
Yeah, here's a tidbit about High Reclaimer most people don't know.
He needs souls.
One of the most important things you can do with him is if you lose some guys or somebody starts to swing up on you, Ashes to Ashes will rebalance the game for you in your favor, typically.
It was an Elmer Fudd moment. I enjoyed that.
I'm having trouble with English tonight. But
you sure you have FNF? You sound like Beanish.
Yeah. I can't do English. No. But a lot of times against High Reclaimer, people will finally get into you and they'll kill some of your guys, and then you can use an Ashes to Ashes to continue your advantage.
What I've seen is, like, they get into your guys and they kill 10 guys, and they're like, yeah, 10 guys. Take that, High Reclaimer. And then you're like, sweet, 15 focus. Ashes to Ashes, boost it. Ashes to Ashes, boost it.
Yeah.
And then pop my feet and bring 6 of those guys back.
Yep.
Oh, no, you didn't cast clouds. You're dead.
You cast 4 clouds.
Yeah, and
but you didn't cast them. I heard you finish your activation.
Yeah, I actually, that's why the bastions are there. If you have good positioning, he doesn't die anyway.
Yeah.
Book plus bastions equals High Reclaimers. Fine.
Until Epic Striker comes on in. Hey, Epic Striker, come a little closer.
God.
I said book.
I do remember the one game I played against last year at Lock and Load, where I had 2 burrowers that I thought could charge him. I didn't realize they were gazed at the time. But I started doing the math, and I was just like, 2 burrowers with Blood Fury actually just murders him. Like, it just straight up murders him.
If they can
wall.
Hit.
They only need 8s. I only need 2 of them. I only need 2 of those 4 attacks.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Tragic. Tragic squishy.
Well, he's so good at camping. Yeah, he'll be camping 4, so he's not totally dead. If he doesn't cast the clouds.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
At 5, actually, because he said 15.
Striker might have to overload for 1 die.
He's armored 19.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Literally, Striker's just like, man, I actually have to use the overload. This is some BS. Punch actually, a button for 1d6, I guess.
Yeah, that's actually what got me to put the book back, because for a long time I tried to make Orin Midwinter work as my book replacement for this matchups like Striker, and it just didn't. Also, you can ask Bryn about this, but it's real easy to screw yourself.
You're like,
I mean, I'm sure Bryn knows all about that.
Bryn actually against Tom Guan. He didn't tell me this. I heard it from Tom, but he's like, oh, I had a rough game with Tom, you know. And I'm like, and Tom's like, yeah, he activated Orin before he activated High Reclaimer.
That's like,
perfect.
Charge Orin, I guess.
Yeah, charge everything. I get to charge, yeah, poor Bryn. I'm sure he won't like that I shared that story, which is why I did.
No, I mean, High Reclaimer should charge Orin.
Yeah, and kill Orin and get rid of null magic. But
get the hell out of here.
I feel like that happens to everyone the first time that they play Orin Midwinter. They're just like,
or at some point.
Yeah, they're like, crap. I locked myself out of being able to submerge Wrong Eye and Snapjaw one time when I was playing the Gordon list. That was...
Whoops.
Yeah. I was like, well, we're going to try and camp through this.
How did it go?
He survived, but a lot more damage was on him than should have been.
A single Boomhauer didn't kill him?
A single Boomhauer didn't kill him.
Oh, must be nice.
Did you hear this story, by the way? Did they share this story with you? About how my one Boomhauer killed Wrong Eye and Snapjaw?
I did, actually.
Oh, you did share that story?
Yeah.
Have you modded Wrong Eye's hat onto that?
No, we're still waiting for Marshall to find one.
So we've gotten through all of two teams.
You know what that reminded me of, though? That was like, you know how in Mass Effect at the beginning of the game you get like your 3 character like background choices?
Yeah.
And there's the one that's like Soul Survivor.
Yeah. That's him. Commander Shepard Boomhauer.
That's him.
Perfect.
Very cool. But I think we've had an episode, unless you guys want to do another team. I think I feel
Poland. Poland, Nigel.
I might not make it.
We'll do Poland next time.
Sure.
But I do want to point out a couple things before we wrap up. I'm taking 4 video cameras to the WTC, and then the Chain Attack guys are taking 1. And so what we're going to do is they're going to live stream 1 game from each of the matchups, and the other 4 I'm going to record so that you'll have of the same matchup. So we're going to pick a matchup every round to kind of record. So we're going to have a lot of videos on Muse, and I believe...
All Team Malta all the time?
We're going to find interesting matchups. So we'll see. We'll kind of talk about it and figure it out. But there should be 20 videos coming through Muse from the WTC.
Nice.
And then I think, and I'm not 100% confirmed on this, but I think some of the other, there's another group of Germans that are coming from Page 5. It's a German website devoted to War Machine and Hordes. They're going to be recording games. And I believe they're willing to cross-post their videos on Muse as well. Hmm. So
that's nice of them.
Yeah. So we're probably going to have quite a lot of content coming up after the WTC. I'm kind of excited because I've been learning how to video edit. And
probably should have told us this before we started trash-talking all of Europe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I will say... Talk hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, we didn't trash... What did trash talk?
Boring. I really do hope that the German teams cross-post to our site, because if, like, I don't want to go searching for videos on German websites, that usually ends badly.
Mm-hmm. Josh, oh my gosh. But yeah, I'll be at the WTC. We'll have a lot of product that we're taking to sell, so if you need something, come see me. We have new products releasing soon. Next week, we should have our first of our resin products online.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Also, Squirrel or Die is still out there. Super sweet. Also, we should bring that over to Europe. Blow that up.
Yeah, we should. If I have room in the bag.
Yeah, because then like Manny could play it at the shop. Like anybody, like make customer demo it.
Yeah. Yep. So, you've seen our new resin sword. What did you think of it?
Oh, it looks great.
You guys have a resin sword?
Great. Yeah.
The resin sword.
B.A.
Every Asian's dream.
To have a resin sword?
That's, I don't understand.
I don't get it.
I just realized that Gunnbjorn has an axe that's named after... Or Jarl has an axe that's named after you.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Axe-named sword.
The axe-named sword, yeah. That's right. So, yeah, the resin walls look great.
Jarl is just, like, the dumbest. He's just the dumbest.
So is there anything... You have your 15 minutes of fame. Is there anything you want to talk about, Sword, now that you're on the podcast? Before we wrap up,
I mean, like the Ray Rice situation or anything topical, ISIS or anything you want to know.
These are all excellent topics to really get off your chest.
No, I just really appreciate you guys having me on. It was great getting a game in with Chad earlier. It's always great listening to you guys, and look forward to seeing you guys at TempleCon.
Yeah, I'll be flying. Mm-hmm. Nigel and Chad are going to drive the van with all the stuff in it.
How much money are you giving me?
$10.
Hey, John.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Why can't you ever play a game of cards with Dougal McNeil?
Why, Josh?
Because he's always on the deck. Yarr!
Colin would have loved that one.
He would have loved that one.
You really are at the bottom of the barrel, right? Like, you can look at Josh right now. His feet are sticking out at the top of the barrel, and his head is all the way at the very bottom. He's digging for pirate gold.
Face down, ass up.
Or he's always got quad tens. Or, I don't know, it's probably some other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway.
Mm-hmm. That barrel is a wormhole.
Mm-hmm. By the way, we didn't mention...
to a juicy world of pirate jokes.
We didn't mention during our news and announcements that was in not present. About Dr. Arcadius's new theme force.
Oh yeah,
Gorak Central.
Remember what it does? Basically, oh yeah, it's Gorak Central. That's right.
Boring.
Boring. Primal's boring.
Remuel pointed out on the forums that if you build his list right, you get like 14 free points of Razor Boars.
Close circuit to Privateer Press. I love where you're going with this. Vanguards in Kador, Gorax's in Circle. Or Gorax's in Minions. That's sweet. You're selling those crappy models. What's the arc build that Magnus has?
Vanguards are...
what's the arc build that Magnus has?
The Renegade. Yeah.
Renegade. If you want to have Renegades, hop over to Kador. In a sweet tier list, like a Sorcha tier list. It's a really severe. I'm like a point off and plus one to win.
Oh, God. It's only okay with Magnus because he's so bad.
Did you hear what he just said? And a plus one to win the, I mean, plus one to start the game. That's pretty and slip away.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But it's actually an interesting theme for us. Anytime you get that many free points, as bad as pigs are, it's a lot of extra free points.
Midas already brought a bunch of free points to the game, and it wasn't good enough.
Here's the problem with that tier list, is it's too much pressure. If you've got 12 more points than your opponent and you still lose...
But you're playing pigs.
It's starting to get embarrassing.
Yeah, but you're playing pigs.
Pigs have a 20-point deficit to start the game.
But I mean, that's the whole point, is like that's their shield. Like, it's almost like if there's no way you'll ever be competent, you can just play pigs, and then you don't have to worry about it. You're like, it's my faction. Whereas if you're giving you 12 free points and you're still losing, like, you had an extra beast and a unit on the table, and I still trivially, then you're starting to actually look like a bad player. I'm just saying,
this is the true Nigel wisdom.
Yeah.
So I don't think these tier lists are necessarily good for the game.
No, they're good for the game. They're just not good for... Yeah. Yeah. For pig players, psyche. Correct. Yeah,
I think Primal goes a long ways to really helping their beasts out, too.
Yep.
I mean, Primal
helps.
It's
the same, if you think about it, it's like the same as what Helga does, right? It's just +2/+2, but it's also got this tremendously huge drawback to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
yeah, Arcadius.
The tremendously huge drawback is playing pigs.
But Arcadius, doesn't Arcadius force his beast to frenzy anyway?
He does with his feet.
On his feet, but then they're done the next turn.
Does that remove them frenzying for the next turn, though, with Primal? No? All right.
Sorry, I'm aware nothing in the game removes that.
I mean, he can once stack. You frenzied, then you...
But it specifically says they frenzy next turn.
Okay.
Like, the cute thing, right, is stacking Crippling Grasp and then Primal to, like, go big on a hog, but...
Well, the most interesting list I saw was someone was just like, well, between... Primal and Crippling Grasp and all of this other, and Forced Evolution, you can actually get kind of any beast hitting pretty hard. So I'm just going to take a whole bunch of Roadhogs to actually just maximize, like, infantry clearing with sprays and setting things on fire and actually boosting 12 guns and everything like that. And that's kind of interesting.
I actually really like the Roadhog. It's, I think, Pig's best beast by far, just because the Warhog is... It's pretty bad.
It's so bad. That was my opinion, is just, like, the Warhog is just so bad. Like, it's still... You can give it Primal and Rage and whatever you want. Like, it's just... It's still Speed 4 and terrible.
Non-Rage.
Until the Earthbreaker came out, I played with Speed 4 Jacks for a very long time. You can make it work.
If you have a feat that slides them 10?
That... Or is eight? That's relevant?
Yeah, because if you could add 8 inches to the if Doc A could add 8 inches to their threat range, then I would agree with you. He could work with it. Yeah, that's a good point, Josh. Way to bring that in.
Thank you. I appreciate you acknowledging my excellent point.
Yeah.
Also, aren't your Speed 4 Jacks armor 20 and not armor 18?
No, they're armor 19.
Okay.
And they're def
9
instead of def 12.
Yeah, that's better. I don't know. 12-18 is pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
Isn't 12-19 like the best general stat line of like a beast in the game?
12-19 is.
Like, you really think that point of armor makes it like so miserably bad?
It makes it a lot worse.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
I feel like this is... I mean, it's not as good as 12-19, but if 12-19 is the best in the game and it's like, we're there but -1 armor.
Well, who said 12-19 was the best in the game?
I think
it's the best, like, non-character nonsense sort of, like, beast.
It's the best heavy of the standard stat lines, I think, for a heavy.
Do you disagree?
I'm just spoiled in Trolls, I guess.
Yeah, you hide behind a wall and have the Earthborn Animus. You have the hardest beasts in the game to kill.
I'm just saying, like, you're just 12-20 all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, spoiled. Yeah. I mean, that's...
That's like, your beasts are 12-18, and you're just like, it's garbage. Yeah, your beasts are 12-18.
No, they're 12-20.
I mean, yeah, for functional purposes there. All right, well, I think this has been an episode. Thank you for tuning in to Bees on Minis episode 190. This has been John.
91.
191.
Yeah, same difference.
This was Josh Yar.
Nigel.
Chad.
Sword.
Find us on Facebook.
Also on Twitter.
Yeah.
We're on both those things. Check it out.
Yep. And you can find our store at musonstore.com.
That's on the World Wide Web.
Yeah. Not a German site.
All right.
All right, we're done. Bye.
Bye.
Especially the last episode.
What's Miami?
Miami is that upstart. Florida? Yeah. No, see, here's the thing. We started Miami so we didn't have to have Colin on this podcast anymore.
I know why we started Miami. It was for Crump.
Yeah, it's both.
I miss him, by the way.
I do, too.
You son of a bitch.
I mean, you're fine, too, Josh.
Yeah.
Like you're okay.
Troll people are literally the worst peoples.
Yes. I mean, Josh, you're fine when you show up.
Yeah, that's
you're
true.
You're just unreliable lately.
Lately, I have been unreliable. That's legit. Well, I just have had going on. What can I say?
Yeah, like naps and...
Yeah, that was... I don't know what offended me that day. I was down for the count.
Yeah. I down figured you were count. Just moping because you lost in the first round of another tournament.
Oh, no.
Alex
no,
Grant takes it out of you.
Yeah.
You got Alex granted.
I got Alex granted.
I mean, Perrier had to take a nap after
and
that game, right?
It felt so good. Yeah.
It was basically like Godzilla where he's just like, ah.
I think Perrier kept playing, and then he played against me, and then I beat him, and then he took a nap.
Okay.
Dirt nap. You guys can keep talking.
Nope.
Yep. Oh, look at this tender moment.
Child in the room. This is sweet. Yeah. I don't want to mock it. I want it to be real.
So cute.
There was nothing age appropriate coming out of my mouth on the next side. So just going to hold it.
Yeah.
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 Better to keep it. Better yeah. to say nothing.
Just later. keep it boodled up.
Stay away from my kids, Josh.
Why? Your kids are great.
Stay away from them and their boodles.
Keep away from the boodles.
What team are we going to talk about first?
Let's start with England.
Is there an? Is
they're
going
to be easy to make fun of.
Is there a Nigerian team?
No. Nope.
Then England.
No. Yep.
Is there a South African team?
No. South African diplomatic immunity.
I just wanted to make an Oscar Pistorius joke. Yeah. Is all. Yeah.
And a diplomatic.
Oh, Blade Runner.
Blade Runner, indeed. Indeed. Oh, I just recently watched Jim Jeffries' newest stand-up that's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And the most brilliant line, he was talking about his kids. And I can only assume that you feel this way because I would totally feel this way. And he's just like, he's got a brand new son. And he's just like, it's amazing. He's like, I feel about my son just like I feel about cigarettes. I want to hold him in my hands for about 5 minutes out of every hour. And the rest of the time I'm thinking about how much he's killing me.
No, that's not actually possible. How I think about my kids. Still, I see where you're coming from.
Every other hour.
Right, yeah.
I also liked his bit on gun control.
Yeah.
The whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good. It was a good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super, I mean, I love Jim Jeffries, but.
I finally started catching John Oliver's show.
Yeah. Last
my
week tonight.
God, it is so good.
Yeah. That
it's so
beauty
good.
Pageant. Like, oh.
I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had not laughed that hard
yeah.
at like a clip from a TV show.
Yeah.
Like, in, I'm sure. I don't think forever.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was incredible.
Yeah.
His reaction to her 22nd. Answer.
Yeah.
How do we solve ISIS?
Yeah.
He was just like, "What? That was a borderline better answer than
the President Obama gave." Yeah.
Like,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's so fantastic.
It's good. It's good stuff.
Also, anybody has a good thrashing for Donald Trump is always
yeah. Oh, yeah. What is he, a mummified
foreskin? A mummified foreskin with made of cotton candy. Or
hair made of cotton candy or something. Awesome. Yeah. It's good times. Good times. Awesome. We tried to confuse where the leads were so you wouldn't know which button control to.
It's not going to help our sound quality anyway.
He wants to be able to cut you off when you make your pirate joke, right?
Yep.
He always tries. But the fans demand.
Nobody wants a pirate joke.
There's actually,
they just want a reaction from me. They actually do not enjoy the pirate jokes.
They love it. I have legions. I have legions of fans.
You have like two. It's Alan Yu. He probably has five. He probably has five Facebook accounts.
And Dust. I mean, if Alan's in, then Dust is in.
No, Dust has never asked for a pirate joke.
I've wondered that, by the way. Like, how many
Facebook accounts Alan Yu has?
Yeah. Well, no. How many of the pirate joke yes votes are just Alan Yu's separate accounts?
Yeah.
You don't understand. Asians are determined to get things done.
Uh-huh.
So if he wants something, nothing will hold him back.
That's racist. That's just racist.
It's a positive racism. So,
but it's still racist.
It's fine.
What if Alan Yu wants to be known as the lazy SOB?
then
and
you would
you are.
I'm sorry.
Oh my god!
Okay, so that does not reflect my views at all.
Lance, leave that in. John is done. He's donezo. I'm making throat cutting motions now. This is John.
Is there a?
I've been trying to get off this podcast for like 3 years.
Is there a Mexican team going to the WTC?
I don't think so. Although, actually,
I feel like all the good countries for hilarious racist jokes are not going.
Teams at all.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, isn't that crappy?
No South American teams. No. Are there any African teams? No No War Machine in Africa.
Well, so like
Spain is going. That's almost like Mexico. Yeah,
that's
right?
The closest.
As close as we can get.
There's there one Asian team? Just the Chinese?
No, there's several Asian teams.
Russia.
Well.
Oh, sure, if you want to be technical about it.
How many non-white Asian teams are going?
There's no Indian team.
That's the most populous, or second most. Which one's first? I actually don't know. It's the most, right? India's the most, yeah?
China and India.
It's China and India.
China's like twice as, or three times as much as India.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
So it's China and then India and then like
the rest of the world. Like, yeah.
So the Chinese, they pirate everything. So I'm genuinely curious if there's a game over there called like Machine of War.
Yeah.
Where that's the game they all play. You know?
Yeah. Same models, all the same models. It's just different rules.
I still remember
something about like World of Warcraft had to do something with their Pandarian race because it's like illegal to portray pandas in China.
Really?
It's illegal to portray them like having violent things done to them or whatever, like in media or video games.
Yeah.
And there's like an entire race of panda people.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that are obviously going
to
have.
I think it'd be
violent
awesome
things
if,
like,
the rules they had to just blur out their privates.
They just got that blue dot.
John gets that joke because Japanese gay porn.
No.
Okay.
Squirting and screaming. That's when I played Magic. I'm assuming they still have to do it. I guess there's some like taboo in China. I think it's Chinese culture against showing skulls in artwork. So they like everything that had like a skull in the artwork, they had to have it like airbrushed or like retouched when they like print cards in China.
Weird.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of 40K then, I bet.
I was about to say, that's going to be hard for them to play that game.
In the grim, dark future of the dark
where
skull.
There's like 10,000 skulls on every model.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
I actually love 40K.
Do
I miss it. Yeah. I do.
Like all the Chaos users are just covered in like marbles.
Do you want to like ditch these guys and start a 40K podcast?
No. I'm never going back. The game takes forever. It's not very well balanced, but it was my first.
It was super grim, dark.
This is my first, too. I played Orcs.
Yeah.
It was fun. I used Pulsar Rockets, which were completely broken.
Yeah, they were.
It was great.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, for me, it was my first. So it will always have a special place in my heart.
Mm. Mm. War Machine was my first, thank God.
Yeah, so you don't know how bad it can really get then.
Well, I'm about to start playing Infinity with Josh, so.
Oh, yes, then you do know how bad it's going
to
get.
Well, no. I said I'm about to start.
Yeah.
Infinity is kind of fun.
Is it fun?
It's not a bad game. The mechanic is very interesting. It's fun to be able to constantly be activating your models, basically, because there's so many counteractions that you can do that it's fun. Mm. I've only played a couple games, but it's worth trying.
I have absolutely no idea. Like the part that I'm stuck on right, or that I'm hung on right now, is like I have no idea whether or not I'm going to find that tactically interesting and satisfying, or whether it's going to drive me insane.
Yeah, frustrating. Yeah,
yeah. I could.
I have a bet.
Yeah,
I also think I know. The first time Jed like walks
too.
A guy around the corner and like he's like, "I'm gonna take my like action," and the guy's like, "Blow your head off," and you're just like, "No!"
I'm basically playing the trolls of Infinity, right? Like,
well,
the big armor.
Yeah, I mean, if your plan is just to play a big tag,
yeah,
then
why would I not want to play with a giant robot?
Because
a giant stealth robot.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play a hacker then and take over his robot because that
can
be done.
Chris told me because he was like,
because
I was talking up these giant robots so much that Nate was basically just like going all in on hackers because that's what Nate does because he's an asshole.
Classic. Like,
yeah.
You've been nated.
Yeah, basically.
Classic cap-keyed. Nate.
You've been cap-keyed.
Yeah, I remember when he started playing Irasquan.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure a lot of that was me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when he first started playing Iriscoan, and I'm pretty sure it was all me.
I mean, isn't Iriscoan just good against literally everything?
Yeah.
Pretty much. It's straight bones.
Back in the day, champions used to get +2 defense instead of +2 armor when they were in base to base with each other.
That seems less good.
Well, except that they were armor 17 base instead of 16. So they would get. So they were death 14, armor 19.
Which is a bonkers stat line.
That's very good stat line.
And then you would, in Mark 1, you would run them in this flying V formation, and you would have Madrek in the middle of them so that they were all sure-footed. So they would all be defense 16, armor 19.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's awful.
And then if you're trying to shoot them, screening was a thing in Mark 1, too. So like, if you're trying to shoot anything but the very front one, like they would actually be defense 18. So, I mean, it was just like terrible, basically. It was super egregious. Like it was like one of those well-known like
power. Meat Mountain 1.0.
Yeah, people just called it the Flying V with Prime Madrek. It was like a thing. That,
yeah.
I remember because I used to take that, and I was like, oh, this is great. Like, you can never hit my guys. Like, this is so awesome. And then he started taking Prime Iris specifically to just like cast Iron Flesh or to cast a Battle Lust on guys and then pop his feet to give him the +2 to hit and then do two man CRAs and just like blow up two man CMAs and just blow up like one guy at a time.
Yeah.
And I was like, this sucks. Like,
yeah. Hard counter.
So, it's also one of those things where like he would put Iron Flesh on his Iron Fang Pikeman and they'd be defense 16 and I'm like, defense 16 is BS. And he's like, I know!
How does it feel?
Yeah. Yeah. So, tell me about Infinity. So you guys are both playing. Capkey's playing. Chris is playing. Anyone else playing?
Josh is thinking about playing.
He wasn't talking about Sweet Josh, but I am also thinking about playing. So.
Oh, yeah. Sweet Josh? I'm in then.
Yeah.
Like, if Sour Josh is in, I have to think
Sweet
about
Josh
it.
Sweet Josh already has
stuff,
like,
yeah.
3 or 4 factions, I think.
Yeah.
But, like, the new box set, like, for version 3 comes out this month, something like that?
Well, actually, Nate was telling me about it last night. He said that apparently Edition 3 is, like, way more popular than they thought it would be, which is probably good. But they have that, like, new box set that...
Yeah, Operation Ice Storm or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently the online orders for it have been, like, double what they thought that it would sell, like, overall, like, in general. Like, just the online orders for it. So, they're a little, like...
So, they're behind.
Backstopped
right
now.
Yeah, supply issue, but... But, yeah, like, I'm thinking about playing Ariadna. Like, it sounds like they've kind of cleaned up some of, like, the stuff that people complained about in version 2. Like, I'm in it just because the models are super cool. Like, the setting is my... Like, if you're ever just like, here's, like, a pseudo, like, near future kind of scenario cyberpunk. With some cyberpunky, like, I'm just like, I will shove my wallet at you until you prove to me that your product is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sci-fi element is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the models themselves are just so gorgeous.
They're gorgeous, yeah.
I don't even, like, really care if I'm not going to enjoy the game. Like, I'm just like, I want that thing.
Yeah. So, help me out. Help me pick a faction. Because I actually looked at Infinity, and I tried to tell what the factions did. Mm-hmm. And I had no... I gave up after about 10 minutes.
Chris or Nate.
Yeah.
Well, Yujing is the faction I played, which is a sub-faction of basically the Asian faction. And it sort of has the Japanese element. They have, like, bikers and... I think they have the jump pack guys, but they have bikers and some of the coolest looking technology sort of models and
they have like the coolest. So Yujing, yeah, they're like he said the Asian faction.
Robots and stuff.
They have sort of some remotes that look kind of like Ghost in the Shell type remotes. Tachikoma kind of things, and they've got ninjas that are like the coolest. They're the cool, like, there's like multiple different levels of like camouflage in the game. And the ninjas are like the highest level where you just like, you like write down or record where your ninja is placed. And then like he just like pops up somewhere in the middle of the game and like attacks and kills whatever is near him.
Best at melee in the game too.
Yeah. And then.
Oh man, so if you're good at sleight of hand, you could have like 5 different locations for your ninjas. And just
the way that the camo system is actually kind of cool. There's like 4 different levels, I think, of it. And it's like at the base level, like you have your model and it's just there. And you're like, okay, yeah, this model has camo and it just basically gets a +2. It's, you know, it's harder to shoot.
It's like having concealment and War Machine or whatever.
And then it's like level 2 is like you put like a token down on the table and it's sort of an unmarked token. And it's like there's something here. Like you can tell that there's something here that's like got optic camo.
but you don't know what it is until you, like, run a guy over there and have them try and, like...
Like, you try and do a discover role, like, yeah, to figure it out, yeah.
And then, like, they can... And then, it's, you know, it's like, and, oh, it's just, like, a little... It's just a guy wearing optic camo. Or, like, oh, it's a giant robot.
You and as I understand it, this is a game where you don't reveal your list to your opponent beforehand. So it's just, like, you have a few models on the table and then a few camo markers. So it could literally be anything from your faction.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. And then, like, the levels, like, 3 and 4, like, is where it starts getting, like, absolutely crazy from what I understand. Like, level 3, or, like it's, like, yeah, level 4, like Josh said, is, like, you have, like, a, you, like, get a separate piece of paper, and you sort of, like, mark on the paper, like, where they are on the game board. And if they don't, like, have any guys, like, over there, like, until they run guys over there or whatever, like, you never have to reveal it. Like, it's just, like, you know, you just never have it.
Yeah. So, like, as near as I can tell, like, Yujing and Pano... And Hakazlam are, like, the three major, like, original, like, Earth, like, whatevers. And so they all, like, share some sort of, like, army similarities to each other. But I think that Yujing has, like, a little more focus on close combat. And supposedly close combat was a thing that was not very good in version 2 that they've made better in version 3. And then Pano is, like... religious orders, knights, they're like Europe and America, kind of. They have like the highest technology in the game, I think, like the best hackers, but they're like kind of a points expensive army. And then Hakazlam, obviously like Middle Eastern type areas, they have like these units called, I think it's called a Fidei.
The jetpack guys?
The guy that, like...
A bidet, like a toilet?
No, with an F instead of a B. And, like, what he'll do is he'll actually pretend to be, like, a different model in your opponent's army, yeah. And then you, like, just remove that, and the Fidei, like, jumps out and, like... So kind of like the old, like, Vendikar assassin from... or whatever it was from 40K. Mm-hmm. Like, they have...
So you actually just pick a thing on their side of the table, and you're like, that guy was a spy!
I mean, I think it has to be, like, a grunt model or something. Like, I don't know all the rules, like, but yeah. But yeah, it's like, that was actually my Fidei! He killed him like 2 days ago and has been like hiding out like in your camp. And like now he's
so awesome.
Yeah.
I'm in your base killing your dude.
Exactly.
Also, that would probably frustrate me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I already know where that. Yeah. The whole question you asked earlier about whether it would frustrate you or find you'd find yeah. I 100% know where that's going.
Oh, yeah.
So I think like of the three, the Hakazlam may have like the lower like technology like level of those the three like Earth based armies, but like they have assassins and snipers and things like that.
So is there other factions besides?
There are. So there's Nomads, which are the classic like we took to ships and now we just live in like three major ships. They're like super high tech traders and hackers. Like they've got a ton of different hackers and whatnot in the game, and like a few different weird religious orders and whatnot. That's what Nate is playing. And then
they were like lower tech.
I don't think so. I think they're high tech.
They're pretty high tech
because they have a lot of like jump troops and whatnot. Because
they're
probably
were
the best
me.
Jump troops. Yeah.
Okay. What Chris and Nate were telling me was that like all of their like was that like they're like high tech quote unquote.
Uh-huh.
But they like since they live in outer space, like all of their stuff is like kind of crappy.
Oh, that may be. Yeah.
So it's like all of their like he was telling me that like their tags are basically like the crappy like throwaway tags from like the Pano army.
Yeah, that could be.
Where we're like, ah, those things are crappy.
Well, Pano is definitely like the best technology as far as I understand it.
The Sigmar of the game.
Yeah.
So I would. It sounds to me like Nomads are more like Protectorate or whatever, where they're kind of like taking other people's stuff and trying to make it work.
Yeah, that's fair because they're salvaging. Ariadna is supposedly like, and this is the faction that I'm the most interested in. They're so I know the most about them, I think, but they have like in human history, like past, there was like a wormhole that opened and they sent ships through to colonize it, but the wormhole closed before they could continue sending colony ships. So it's just like this one colony ship that landed on this planet. And they were cut off from humanity for like 300 years, and it was a combined force of like Russians and English and Americans and so on and so forth, and French, I think.
I thought
and
Irish was part of it too.
They're like the English group is like includes Scottish and Irish people and whatnot.
Right.
Yeah, see that? England includes Scotland.
Yeah. But they're like, so they have like the lowest technology rate because they were cut off, but they have the highest number of like low camouflage in the game because they're all sort of like current modern day like paramilitary type troops. Like that's kind of what
like
they feel.
Everyone else has like laser swords and laser rifles. These guys just have like submachine guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they just never advanced.
Yeah. Right. Basically like they're, yeah.
They
like,
stood still.
They fought, they do have the werewolves.
But the reason that they went to that planet, the reason that they were like sending people out to that planet to colonize it is because it had some like super rare, like crazy, like mineral or material on
it.
And so like, they're the only ones with like access to that, like It's like the super, like, ridiculously dense
metal of some kind, yeah.
So it just, like, makes their bullets, like,
penetrate armor, yeah. and so
they have good armor in there.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's Ariadna. There is Aelif, which is in order to, like, control the ever-expanding, like, human sphere, mankind invented AI, and they have, like, this AI computer called Aelif that, like, helps them, like, sort of, like, monitor, like, the peace between the different factions and, like, kind of control, like, space and whatnot. And it has its own army that it's created by basically, like, looking up history's greatest warriors and then, like, making them, like just cloning and, like,
vats. So that'd be, like, Genghis Khan or...
It's, like, a lot of them are currently are, like, Greek-based, so, like, Achilles and so on and so forth. I've heard... Now, some people, like, I think Josh was telling me it's not really true, but I've heard some people say that it's, like, the most OP faction in terms of, like, real, like, everything is, like, very powerful in their faction.
Oh, so Keith will be playing that, then.
Yeah. And then there are two different alien forces. There's the Combined Army, which is, if you think of the Covenant from Halo, they're basically the Covenant from Halo. They're just made up of, like, a bunch of different alien types. And then there's a brand new one called Toha, and they, like apparently the human sphere has just, like, encountered Toha, like, recently. And they, like, use a lot of viral weaponry, so, like, a lot of biological kind of, and they sort of look like weird, like, kind of mantis-looking guys. They're pretty cool-looking, but I think that's all the factions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm now more confused than when I started, but I appreciate it. It actually gave me some things to think about.
Yeah. I believe that mercenaries are also going to be playable as a faction in 3rd edition. They said
but you learned your lesson in War Machine. You're not.
I'm not going to do it in this game now. My faction's been holding me back.
I don't think so.
Just
you need to stop hanging out with Nigel.
I was going to say, Jordan Knox seems to have done well with mercenaries.
Yeah.
Yeah, he like yeah, won so everything.
Crump. I mean, if you can
Crump did pretty
if
well.
You can tiptoe Crump. Your way past the first round, mercs will carry you. But mercs are severely disadvantaged in the first round of any tournament.
Only when you're playing them, Josh.
What round did we run into each other at Recruits last year?
Yeah, probably like the first round.
Two or three?
Probably like the first. It was totally. Three. I think it was totally like the first round.
It was like round three.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying other players seem to do fine with mercs. I don't know.
Well.
That's always a combination of the player and the faction, right? Like some.
No, it's 100%
style.
The player.
It's 100% the faction.
Yeah, I agree.
I say it's 100%
but
the player.
It's 100% the player. Players that do better with certain factions. That they play more to that certain play style, right?
I mean, that's true. Like, real douches play like Protectorate and Trolls. But
God damn it, I was going to say that's 100% the player. Crump with Circle is actually like the perfect counter-argument to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Crump is an idiot savant with Circle. I have no idea. Like,
he might be the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah, that could be. Actually, watching Crump play anything but Circle.
I never got that phrase, by the way. I never understood that phrase.
I'm sure there's some, like, I'm sure, like, a linguist. Like,
the exception that proves the rule, well, it's like, if it's the exception, then.
Seriously, watching Crump play Mercenaries was probably the most painful thing I've ever done in my life related to War Machine.
It was miserable.
I was like, what are you doing? What Crump, no, don't. Oh, my God.
He got his Warcaster shot by Epic Iris twice in the same game.
Yeah. Like, his Warcaster was solid ground, so the stupid galleon could shoot all of his stuff.
Chaos-y, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, Crump, what are you?
I also just like that his first turn was just like, walk Gorton forward, cast a wall, take a hand cannon shot at a press ganger. Like, what are we doing? Get up the field. We only have 10 inches. You have to make them count.
Oh, yeah. But Eris shot him, and then he was like, okay. And then Eris shot him again, and I was like, Crump, what? Number one, it should never happen to begin with. You should never get your caster. You have to really not be paying attention to get shot by Eris.
I feel kind of bad. We should have told him that we were hanging out in the shop today. He probably would have come down.
Oh, yeah. That's my fault, because I
caught
didn't
him.
Yeah. I don't want a dog on Crump, though. He's not here to defend himself.
That's your favorite turn of dog on people.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's
how
true.
Much dogging on me did he do while I wasn't here last week?
Josh, well, geez, it was a bloodbath.
I mean, I'm never going to listen to it, so it doesn't matter, but yeah.
Lance got carpal tunnel editing the podcast.
That sounds about
speaking
right.
Speaking of dogging on somebody, Keith lost a game.
He's lost several games.
No, he lost a game to Nigel, and at the end of the game he said, "That's the most unfun game of War Machine I've ever played."
Which, for anybody who's ever played Keith, that's like winning War Machine Weekend.
Yeah.
I could just retire. It
was the best birthday present he could have ever been given.
Yeah. It was such a bad matchup for him, but he played it.
It was not a bad matchup. Get out of here.
What's hilarious about it is that he played...
That's not a bad
He deal. Played Gorshade 3 versus Ashlyn, like, just, like, last week. Like, he played that matchup against me, which, I mean, come on. Come on.
Pretty good for you.
For Gorshade, right?
Yeah. The 14 hit point, 15 armor caster that can be made stationary. Yes, that's not a win for Glacier. I mean, and no, I'm not even going to, in fairness, just suck it, Keith. You're not here.
Yeah. I mean, he's sick and at home.
Get well, Keith.
Yeah, he caught what I got.
Yeah, which is terrible. But yeah, I could see Nigel was about ready to stand up and dance.
Yeah,
he was
sick too, so I just made it bad because I wanted to just be like, "Oh my god!" And then
just like
Dumb and Dumber,
the arm chokes, like cross
on
and like
Tabasco sauce.
Yes,
just point at him. And then...
Yeah.
The best part was when we were like, you know, Keith, it's a lot like, because he was complaining about Sorcerer because Nigel just controlled the whole game. I'm like, yeah, it's a lot like playing against Haley 2 or Danny 2. And he just was like,
or Danny 1.
Yeah.
That patented Keith F you look.
Revenge.
Yeah, which caused that new saying of like, playing P Sorcerer is giving people the Haley 2 E Danny experience without playing either of those two douchey casters. That's like my new.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. Sweet.
Oh man, it was sure, nice.
In like a year or two, Sorcia 1 will just become the new. Like she'll just be tacked on to the end of the.
She won't because it's the player, not the faction. So, know.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that.
Honestly, I think Sorcia 1 would be more well known if you could find a second list to go with her. Because when I was looking at Counter, I was really struggling trying to find a second list that I wanted to play. It was just tough for me.
It's tough. It's basically like a wasteland in that faction.
God, you've got so many good options.
Yeah, I know, but I just couldn't find
one list.
Basically, Sorcia 1 is the most fun you can have playing War Machine. So everything else you play next to it is just like, well, this isn't Sorcia 1. This sucks.
Also, in general, Kador is like the least fun you can have playing War Machine, but except for Sorcia.
Yeah, well, I mean, she just has so much control, and she's so dynamic, so...
Somebody shot me an email of, like, the Vlad 3 tier list, which is, like, Vlad 3 units of Turning Cav, 2 min units of Ulans, and then, like, Drago and something. I was like, maybe. Maybe I'll try that out.
All the horses. You hate...
2 units of Turning Cav, 2 fulls.
He did say 3, but...
Oh, did I say 3? Sorry. 2 full units of Turning Cav, 2 min units of Ulans, and then Fenris and 2 Dracoons or something.
Yeah. You hate Vlad 3. You're on record as hating Vlad 3.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, I mean, Vlad 3.
Cavalry casters are always great, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Maybe not a popular opinion, but...
Yeah.
Cavalry casters are always great? That might be too extreme.
Well, name one bad one.
Maybe the new...
Kray's not
Kray's
bad.
Awesome. Kray's not bad.
I used to always play Kray.
Yeah, Kray's not a bad
I always put Kray.
I was going to say, maybe the new Protectorate Battle Engine Cavalry Caster.
Well, that's a whole different thing.
Actually, we should talk about him. I feel like he's...
Raznik.
Not bad.
Is this, like, part of the cast? Are we actually, like, casting now?
We're talking about
War Machine, and it's making me uncomfortable.
Yeah. All right.
Back to talking about Infinity.
Yeah, like, we have a very separate but equal system here of, like, you know...
Separate but equal. Right?
Separate but equal.
And the
prologue is always, the pre-ramble is always not War Machine, and then everything else is 100% War Machine all the time. That's us.
We could talk about how Muse on Minis is on the brink of closing down.
Yeah, 10 more episodes, right?
No, we started playing Path of Exile, Nigel and I, and it's been a little hard on our production.
Oh, the business.
The business.
Yeah. No, also, like, I don't really want a podcast. I'd rather be playing Path of Exile right now, to be honest with you guys.
So basically, when EverQuest 2 comes out, like,
that's
we're
it.
Just done.
That's the end.
Yeah, well, we might have to start an EverQuest live streaming podcast.
Can we?
Won't let you play EverQuest 2.
Yeah,
no, she won't. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure how she feels about Path of Exile. I came to bed the other day at, like, 4 in the morning, and she was like, really? And I was like, I was kind of, And she's like, don't even bother. And I'm like, yeah, it's a mistake.
John's also...
Oh. Is that an MMO? MMO?
No, it's like Diablo.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah.
It's a free-to-play action RPG, I believe is what they're called.
Yeah.
And it's like Diablo, but it's like Diablo if the leveling system was the sphere grid from Final Fantasy X, and the equipment system is the materia system from Final Fantasy VII. So it's basically like a convergence of like nerd like orgasm.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Yeah.
It is really sweet.
I don't know if any of those things mean anything to you if you ever played.
No, it sounds like something to try. Well, especially if it's free.
Let me give it to you another way. There is a 1400 node skill tree, and your character class just puts you somewhere on that tree. Whoa. So you can literally design your character however you like, and then all of the spells and attacks in the game come in like the form of little gems that you put into your socket into your gear. So you can make whatever combination of skills and abilities that you want, along with whatever combination of nodes on the skill tree.
Yeah, so 100% customizable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can do some crazy stuff. Like Nigel was running around with a dual-wield wand shadow who's like a rogue.
Yeah.
Wielding two wands, firing off an ability called Barrage, which fires your ranged weapon a bunch of times really fast. And it just makes it just like this like...
Yeah. It makes like, yeah, there's like rapid slapping noise. It's great.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
The way I play War Machine, I play Path of Exile times 9/11. Like all the builds just make everybody in the group like roll like, ugh. I had a guy who like specializes in just animating. There's a stupid spell you can get that animates weapons off the ground. So like as weapons pop off on the ground, I'm like, oh, quick, animate it. And then it's just a stupid build because it's like they're on a timer and they just go away after a while. And then like it doesn't help you in boss fights or anything. So it's like the worst skill out of all time. So I start carrying like. As we like dungeon through, I start carrying up all this gear. I'll be like, my bag will be full. And then, yeah, in the boss fight, I start dropping on the ground. And then this guy that we play with, he's like, oh my God. He's just like, get out of here.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But yeah, and then we're playing in the hardcore league, which, you know, if you die once, you're done. And I've never played Path of Exile much. So I'm playing with all these like pros.
How many players at once?
We play six party of six, yeah, right?
It's party of six.
And the game gets really mean in a party of six. You can get insta-glibbed pretty fast if you don't know what you're doing.
Like Diablo, yeah, it gets exponentially harder the more players they get added to.
Yeah, but we were having fun, and they were telling me, I think you should make a ranged character. So I immediately made a melee character. And I'm doing pretty good, haven't
I? Yep.
This is, I think, my fifth try of trying to play with these guys, and I haven't died. So, and we got through the entire game. Well, almost. I guess we have a couple bosses left, but... But it's very fun. Designing your characters is probably the most fun thing.
Right.
Like right now, I'm looking at building a big warrior guy who specializes in staves. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but
classic.
It's like Barristan Selmy before he
reveals
himself to.
But anyway, I'm gonna be like leap slamming in the middle of them, and they have this ability called sweep, where you swing your weapon all the way around your head. And then it has knockback on it with the staves have knockback, so it'll just be like, geez, Louise, who's that?
There's a lot of scoring.
Just leave that out of it.
Anyway. But the game is neat, and then it gets really interesting, too. You can...
John, I want you to know that I just didn't go there. You're welcome.
I appreciate it. But
first time.
So we talked about the customization of the different skill gems and the skill tree, and then there's even a third, like different gear leads into different builds that do different things. Like there's this three dragon's helm that turns fire damage into ice damage, and ice damage into lightning damage, and lightning damage into fire damage, which it doesn't seem like it would do much, but you can chain that with different abilities to cause crazy things to happen. So I don't know, it's just,
so it's sort of like some combination of like magic of the card game where you're trying to build up crazy combos, right? Like,
yeah absolutely.
Yeah, and I
or
think
like a Nigel's list.
Yeah, and the game designers are very much into, we want you to be overpowered, we want you to find broken stuff in the game, and they don't normally nerf it too much. They will change things though.
Nice. But I think like Sunday, which is like a work night for John, was like 1 o'clock. It was like 12:30. He's like, guys, are we gonna be doing anything more? I gotta go to work. And we're like, well, we'll just do a little bit more running around. And then like 1:30 rolled around, and when 3:30 rolled around, And then Oof. Four.
And then I literally am tiptoeing, which is not an image you want to think about, trying to get into bed without waking my wife up. Because I just
I actually literally can't think about it. I don't know what that would look like. I can imagine a lot of things. A unicorn, for example. An all-powerful god. But I can't imagine you tiptoeing.
So, yeah, I was just trying so hard to get into bed without my wife. Wife waking up. I mean, you know, I'm usually pretty good about not waking her up, let's be honest. But
in the moment, you mean?
Yeah. Like, I like to finish and then go back to sleep because I don't want to have her finish. That takes forever. But
ooh. At least 60 separate John finishing related incidents.
Anyway.
So 4 o'clock in the morning, I ended up missing half a day of work. I took a half a day off because I made 8 to noon.
Exile. John, this is like, I know a lot of people that dropped out of college for.
Sounds like, John, yep. You're on the path of exile.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think I've told you guys that I'm not very good at regulating.
Hello and welcome to episode 26 of Muse on Minis Miami.
Bienvenido on Miami.
What are you... So... All right, skip it.
The good news is that Lance will actually put in the Caruso scream. It'll be sweet.
Yeah.
I also like to imagine that that's Caruso screaming.
I've been looking at Path of Exile for like a year because they were in beta for a long time and everything. Like, it's just one of those games where I've been holding off from it because it's such a convergence of like all of these things that I know that I'm going to be like crazy addicted to that I'm just like, I can't.
Marshall's like super into the game, right? He's been playing it for a long time.
Yeah,
I can't. I found that out this week. I can't do it because I cannot regulate myself. I cannot make myself go to bed. I can't make myself get up and go to the bathroom. It's really bad.
Holy. I am now like looking around the room for like a jug of urine. Like,
I spent a year.
Just staying on the floor.
Yeah.
Not that uncouth. I just get really uncomfortable.
Pour eggnog the hedgehog's cage like just a little more.
It's like the WoW episode of South Park.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's
there was that moment where we were basically yelling, screaming for Hot Pockets while we were playing.
Ma'am!
I did try to get my wife to get me something to eat while I was playing. You should have seen the look she gave me. Like, are you serious? And I'm like, I'm kind of serious. I'm only if you'll do it. Otherwise, I'm not serious at all.
That's how I am always serious. Exactly that serious. Only if you'll do
I'm
it.
Serious if you'll do it.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
it's a super joke.
Okay. All right.
I think that's a good philosophy, actually.
It's a great way to be a man-child forever.
What episode are we on? 192?
191.
191. 190 was the last one. Yeah.
No, we did 191 last one. Nope, the last one was
191.
Yeah, I've been tussling in the 190 thread lately.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Me too. I've been in that thread like 50 times.
Yeah, every time I'm like, oh, Steven Swayze, he's a real joke. Oh, yeah. Right, that's Nigel.
Yeah. Yeah, today I blew up Tim Simpson, by the way, on the forums. I had to like look him up on Facebook and apologize because I didn't know he was DP6.
Yeah. Nigel's like, who's he saying?
Oh, he was just like,
the forums at all today.
He was like Nigel was talking about like how Stone Cold Killer his list is, and he was just like, I'd like to play that matchup, Nigel, at War Machine Weekend. And Nigel was like, well, your EP is just fine, buddy. Like, don't worry, I'm sure it pleases all the ladies. Like. Like, I read it, I was just like, that was a little, that was just like, yeah.
And then Nigel's like, hey, who's this dipshit DP6? I'm like, oh, that's Tim Simpson. Yeah. And he's like, oh my god! I gotta fix this. I can't believe it. Yeah. I just lit him on fire.
Oh my god! Amazing.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah, I noticed that. Like, I'm like, wait, he's a board moderator. What the hell?
How the hell did we get to 191?
Yeah,
incredible.
I don't know.
I got a little bit of negative feedback, like I thought. So
yeah. Did it make you feel bad?
Yeah.
Chad's a bad person.
He's a nice one. Remember that.
I'm a nice one.
You actually got off pretty light, all things considered.
Yeah. I thought it would be a lot worse. thought it would be a lot worse. Mm-hmm.
After we had like the Negasode, I thought people were gonna like it was almost like a funeral procession on the threat.
Usually pretty negative. It's you, Nigel. You
have I know. I'm just
you're a bad influence. Yeah, you're trying to turn us. We are not going to be Focus and Fury. That's just never gonna happen. And that's probably a bad thing because Focus and Fury was amazing.
That's a bad segue too because we're basically gonna FNF this up when we talk about the WTC today.
All right.